much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Nobody in life gets exactly what they thought they were going to get. But if you work really hard and you're kind, amazing things will happen. Let's make something amazing happen right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Friday is Hawaiian shirt day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's say a little prayer for peace.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Airtight.
Roll another one.
Would that be right? Seriously, Tommy, I don't know.
Just like the other one.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
This one seems to be about to quit.
He is certainly entertaining.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Sorry, can't help you there.
Roll another one.
Oh my God.
Just like the other one.
You know what? Women shouldn't be gross.
This one seems to be about to end.
Not ever. No way.
I don't have another sense.
Let me ask you something. What do women want? Who cares?
But don't bogart that joint.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Just pass it around.
You've got to lower your expectations.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
How about the basketball game?
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Man, what am I smoking? Oh, yeah, pot.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean. Are we
are
doing that
packed?
Again?
Well, that was packed. Are you leaving after the show?
No, I'm not leaving till early next week. Oh, I'm going to I'm going to be at April Foolishness tomorrow.
To
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You
yes,
miss that?
You want to miss that.
Oh, my God.
All right. I was just wondering if you were already mentally checked out because your bags were in the hall waiting to be picked up.
Mentally, she is checked out.
I checked out Tuesday.
Yeah. She hasn't packed yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I forgot it. Lisa's going to be on vacation, which means Lisa's going to be drinking, which means Saturday night there's no telling what's going to come out of her mouth when she gets on stage to introduce one of the comedians.
It's going
to
be fun for everyone.
She is strong. When she starts drinking, she's strong.
Who's got the toughest name? Like, who should we give her? We got to give her somebody who's going to be difficult to say. Maybe Felipe Esparza.
Yeah. Felipe Esparza would be difficult. That's just mean.
Or it's Tim... Tim Minchin. Maybe that's the one. I don't know.
Maybe I should just bring signs and hold them up.
I don't think it matters.
We'll see how drugged she is before we decide.
Okay.
Well, welcome on into a Friday. Here's a great story. You might have heard about this one already. The Masters tournament is going on. And you know, we didn't talk about it, but Tiger Woods actually won the last major golf tournament.
Yeah. Right.
First one he had won in 2.5 years, I guess, or however long it's been since the Thanksgiving incident. But
he came in as a favorite to the Masters?
I don't know technically how the odds work, but I mean, I think we're a lot more optimistic that he might win this one than in a long time because he's already got a win under his belt. So maybe, you know, he's got the monkey off his back. But the Masters are in the news a little bit because of this guy in Seattle named Russ Berkman. He's a huge golf fan, and he had applied. I guess they have some sort of a lottery system to get your tickets by mail if you want to go. Not even, I mean, for the Masters, yes, but even for just the practice rounds. You know, you have to get in this huge list for a lottery to try to get tickets
really?
And be able to go watch them practice. That's how big it is because he's the biggest golfers in the world, right?
Wow.
So he was lucky enough to get those tickets, And then his dog ate them. So
all right.
Seriously?
So he had the trip planned for months with he and his friends. And then he walked to his house one day, and he's got a Swiss mountain dog, a super cute dog named Sierra. And he sees the strings from his master's tickets on the floor, and he realizes, uh-oh, I see what's happened here. So what's his next move? What's he do after that?
Gives him a dog X-lax.
Yes.
Well, that would have been one way to
trying
go.
To speed
I think,
it up.
I think he made a smarter choice, which was to give his dog hydrogen peroxide instead to try to get his dog to vomit the tickets up rather than to poop the tickets out.
Right. Okay.
Isn't that better? I would think it's better.
Yeah,
I would
that's
think
better.
So. Either way, it's pretty gross, but yeah.
But you'd end up with more ticket, most likely.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. So he gave her, gave her the hydrogen peroxide, which I have heard of before. Apparently it's safe. And she did vomit up the tickets. The results were not as bad as you'd think, he said.
Really?
Though the tickets were far from whole and far from pristine, he was able to cobble them together into something resembling the four passes he had received from the Masters people back in August. So he took them on his trip to Georgia, and he called up the Masters people, and he explained what happened.
And they said, what happened to this ticket? And he said, it's a long story.
he called them up, and he pieced them all back together with, tape and ironing, I think. And then he also printed out his original email showing the confirmation that he had, in fact, bought the tickets. And he went down there, and they traded him in for some new tickets.
So he
was able
guy.
To actually go.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work for golf practice.
It is a lot of work for golf practice. But he said he just dreaded having, when he realized what had happened.
Of course.
All these friends from around the country that also made plans to join him there. This was going to be their big time. They were all going to meet down there and go see golf together.
And as soon as you understand that they're in your dog's stomach, there's no good option.
Yes,
all good options are gone. Just pick a bad one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you carve him open from the stomach and just pull him out whole that way. But
wow.
But they were not even whole then because he's chewed them. He's chewed them on the way down probably. So anyway, so there's a story with a happy ending. So they went. They had a great time. They're back.
And he's still got his dog. Excellent.
And now Sierra's fine. He's fine. Everybody's fine.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're boring, and frankly, you disgust me. Ugh.
That's why we bring in other people. Very important to us. That's why we have Jason Biggs stopping by today.
Yeah, I love him.
In studio, he's the best for American graduation. No, what is it? American...
Lisa, don't say it.
Well, I don't care.
reunion.
Plus,
he's
reunion.
Looking right at me.
Plus, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She's so hot.
She's got a new TV show called Client List, and she's
I'm going to ask her why she's so hot. How can someone be that
please
hot?
Please don't ask that.
And by all accounts, so nice.
That's fine, but please just don't ask why are you so hot. I'm begging
That's not
you.
What I didn't say that.
I thought you just said I'm going to ask.
Essentially.
Yeah, you just said I'm going to ask her why she's so hot.
I haven't finished the sentence. There's more to the sentence. I was halfway through a sentence.
Okay.
I'm going to ask her why she's so hot and by all accounts so nice, yet can't get a man. Like, what's wrong with her?
Okay, that's a way better question.
Yes, it is.
That should endear her to us forever.
I think so.
Internet Roundup on the way. Mm-hmm. Got a brand new one for you. We got Morgan Spurlock on the program today. He's done a documentary on Comic-Con.
Oh,
that
wow.
That should be
really good. Yes.
We have the movie beat, and we have April Foolishness tickets for the "You're Better Than We're Better Than You" section.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be giving those away in the 6 o'clock hour as well. So keep listening for that. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is K-Rock at the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:50.
When you think about just fleetingly in your mind how long Kurt Cobain has been gone, how long does it seem to you guys as we play a Nirvana song there on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Say
without thinking about it, without doing the math in your head, about how long does it seem like he died?
10 years.
20 to me.
18.
Yeah. 18 is right. 18 yesterday. 18 years since he's been
gone. Can I change to 18?
But that was my point. I'm with you, Kevin. It doesn't seem like it's possible that it's been 18. Such a long time ago that he's been gone. But, I mean, look how popular the band still remains and how much we still hear them. But he's been gone a long time. Lane Staley, 10 years yesterday. He's been gone from Alice in Chains. So time flies. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now Ralph joins us for a first look at what's going on here on a Friday. Hey, Ralph.
All right, Dr. Downer. Thanks. any other dead celebrities you want to talk about? People we miss?
He loves death.
He does. Thanks to everybody who came out to the star ceremony yesterday for Adam West on Hollywood Boulevard. A lot of K-Rock listeners showed up, and we really appreciate it. It was very fun to have everybody out there. So thanks for everybody who came out. If you want to see a little video, I don't know if anybody caught it on ABC yesterday.
No kidding.
Local news, awesome. Channel 7, George Pinocchio, their entertainment reporter, did a story on the Hollywood Star ceremony, and he's got a little clip of Adam speaking, where he gives a shout-out to two guys I like to call Kevin and Bean.
Really? Wow.
In his acceptance speech, he said thank you to K-Rock and to Kevin and Bean and all our listeners.
Wow.
And there's a little clip of my speech and Seth MacFarlane's speech as well there if you want to catch the video. So I got a post on kevinandbean.com or krock.com. If you go there, I've got a little post and a little link to the video if you want to go check it out. So very entertaining day yesterday, big time. Let's talk about showbiz news. Mike, the Situation Sorrentino.
Dead?
No, sadly. Oh. He apparently has completed his treatment at the Cirque Lodge in Utah and was seen yesterday hopping a flight out of Utah. He's all better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. I'm sure.
It's good news.
I'm sure there's no way he'll hold another drink or another pain pill. All will be well. Chris Klein, star of the upcoming film American Graduation.
That's what I hear it's called.
Or American Reunion, if you want to actually find the film. Says he owes his sobriety to his dog, Chief.
His dog, Chief?
Yes. He's got a German Shepherd named Chief.
Okay.
And the dog would get quite agitated whenever he'd bring the booze out. Chris says the dog actually seemed disappointed in me when I drank.
Really?
Okay, Chris. Yeah, the dog's talking to you.
Did it talk?
He's trying to put down the bottle.
And we're sure he's sober, right?
Yeah. He realized he had a drinking problem when he was popped for a second DUI in 2010 with his dog in the passenger seat. And
aww.
I guess the dog looked over and said, "Are you effing kidding me?"
Again.
So he's dried out. He's fine now. And his dog is much happier that his master is in complete control of all his faculties.
Wasn't that what got serial killer Son of Sam into trouble, was listening to the dog?
That's right.
You don't do what the dog tells you to do. Come on.
Kill them. By the way, speaking of DUIs, did you hear about our Mother of the Week here locally in Torrance, California?
No.
I think so, yeah.
Shandia Bowen. Shandia was arrested yesterday for texting while driving. Of course, she did also have a baby on her lap.
Oh my God.
With a 2-year-old in a car seat that wasn't buckled into the car seat and a 4-year-old that wasn't wearing any seatbelt whatsoever.
Please don't tell me.
Oh, this is horrifying.
It was an accident.
There wasn't an accident.
Okay, good.
The cops saw her texting, pulled her over.
And wow.
She said, but the baby was crying, so I had to try to comfort it. So I put it in my lap.
And pull over.
While I was texting.
Fail. Epic fail.
This isn't her first dance with the cops, by the way. She's had the following citations. Not having insurance, not wearing a seatbelt, not having a valid driver's license, driving with a missing license plate, not obeying traffic signals, not using child restraints, having defective lights, having a defective windshield. She's been in 2 car accidents, has been cited several times for driving with a suspended license, and failing to appear in court 9 times.
Wow!
So she is now behind bars on suspicion of child endangerment, and bail was set for $130,000.
Where's the outrage there?
Kids are in custody of family services.
Not a big fan of the government overstepping, but in this particular case, maybe they could give her a little harder test.
Thank God the cops were there and saw it and pulled her over.
Just that many.
Look, I'm a new dad. I only have a 2-year-old. I don't have a lot of experience. Sounds like she's got several kids. But I when they told me I was leaving the hospital, do not use your child as an airbag. That was one
that
of the
sticks.
That was the instructions they gave us as we were leaving the hospital. So she is breaking rule number 1. And it's good news. Bully, the movie we've been talking about, the documentary about bullying in schools, well, now get a PG-13 rating. There was an agreement met between the Weinstein Company and the MPAA. This is so ridiculous when you see what they had to do in order to pass the ratings. Now, usually with the MPAA, you're only allowed 1 F-word in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, this is true. You put in 2, it's automatically R.
Yes.
Look, once they hear it, they've heard it.
No, Lisa, if you hear it twice, then you really just sinks in your head and affects you.
I don't know how they drew that line, but they have.
Now, in the initial version of Bully, there were 6 F-words. Now, the MPAA said, all right, we're going to bend the rules for you. Give us 3 F-words, and we'll give you the PG-13.
So, and so they beat the others?
That is the that's the agreement they came to. So the movie will be out in 55 markets next weekend with the new rating of PG-13. So,
all right.
There you go.
Seems like a win.
It's so stupid.
3 versus 6.
It is stupid.
It's madness. And another day, another stupid reality show. This may be the dumbest one ever.
That's tough.
Saying something.
That's tough.
Reality show. The competition for dumbest reality show.
Remember Paula Abdul's? That was
This makes Paul Abdul look like Mad Men.
Can't.
No, I think Ralph is more in the category of Am I Hot? I think that's the level that you're
This show makes Am I Hot look like Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
How about baggage claim where people went around on the baggage claim in an airport, remember?
This show makes baggage claim.
That was a dating show, right?
Yes, it was.
That was funny.
This show makes baggage claim look like Game of Thrones.
Mm. Okay, I can't wait.
Daily Variety has announced TLC, the Freak Channel, is partnering with CBS Television to produce a reality show about a family that sells bacon-related products.
Yes! Yay! Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Reality show about bacon sales.
Is this that guy in Seattle who started his empire with the bacon-flavored everything?
Justin Esch and Dave Keflow are business partners. Who produce bacon-flavored everything. Bacon salt, bacon-aise, bacon-flavored popcorn, bacon-flavored envelopes, a bacon coffin that has an interior bacon air freshener.
Well, now, that was a miscalculation.
Now they will have their own series. Bacon stuff.
A, I can't believe it exists. B, it's a TV show.
That is a TV show.
Wow.
Wow. I sent Dave the link to that bacon coffin because, you know, he's obsessed with bacon. Dave thinks every food is made better by
bacon.
And
you're obsessed with death, so it's the perfect marriage.
It's
you two
perfect thing.
Just hump on it.
So he is at this point planning on being buried in the bacon coffin.
Well, I hope he uses it soon, if that's the case. And wow, Dick Wolf, while we're talking about reality shows, Dick Wolf of Law & Order fame has partnered up with our buddy Mark Burnett, who brought us Survivor, and also Dagger Island. Don't forget that, or whatever that pirate reality show was. You remember when everybody had to play pirate? You had to get on a boat?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. Sort of. You had to pretend you were a pirate, and you pulled up gold doubloons out of the water, and it was just insane. This actually sounds pretty good. It's a competition show, but it's for celebrities competing against each other as they go through the same training that the U.S. Special Forces have to take.
Oh, wow. Man.
It's called Stars Earn Stripes. All right, maybe that needs some work.
But they're going to have to pick athletic people at the very least.
At the very least.
If not athletes.
It's going to be on NBC. It's going to be filmed at one of the U.S. Special Forces training facilities. And a drill sergeant will help them get through each week's grueling challenges.
Will he yell at them in their face? So
I'm sure they will.
Cry and go home?
Yeah. Now, when they say celebrities, I'm always curious about who will get to sign up for this. Mm-hmm. If we see Screech versus Bobby Brady, then, you know, maybe it's not as interesting.
But that would be interesting to me. That'd be awesome.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams, Lando Cal, Mother Effin Reesian.
He's the best. He's the coolest.
He's a cool dude. 75 years old today. Frank Black of the Pixies turns 47. Paul Rudd's 43. Zach Braff from Scrubs turns 37. Brett Harrison, very funny, talented actor. He was on Reaper. That was a show I first discovered him on. Like,
what?
No.
Here we go. Just go ahead. What's the matter, Bean?
I just, you gave me the willies a little bit there.
Well, you want to talk about the Reaper? No,
please. Yeah. Well, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that show.
But Bean.
Please don't.
Don't fear the Reaper.
I'm pegging you guys.
Now he's on that security show with Jack Nicholson Light. What's that kid? Christian Slater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Breaking In, Breaking Bad, Breaking Out.
Brand new show, too.
I don't even watch any shows with Christian Slater on them because I know they're only going to last 3 episodes.
And actress Deora Baird.
Oh,
come on now.
There it is.
She's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin DeBean Show, and it's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You can't go to any more Kings games.
No, you're not allowed to go out at all anymore.
You're not allowed.
It's not that I went to the Kings game. It's that I got home about midnight.
You got on a party bus afterwards?
Partied.
I got home about midnight, and then I was up till about 2. So then I was thinking, well, should I just stay up?
Well, here's the thing. You don't go to a Kings game. You go to bed at 10, and maybe you're asleep by midnight.
Last home game.
I understand that.
Trying to clinch playoffs.
They already had clinched.
No, they didn't. Not until Dallas lost, which was during the game.
Right.
Okay.
But still, you can't go to any more.
At a minimum, you should promise us that you will listen to this tape later when you're sober. All right, real quick, ahead of the movie beat. tomorrow night at the Gibson Amphitheater is the Kevin and Bean sold out April Fool's Just 2012. We have literally one pair of tickets left. This is it. And they're in the We're Better Than You section, which means you get the backstage parking, you get the meet and greet, you get the t-shirt, you get the whole deal, okay? So we're taking your calls right now for the final pair of tickets at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to do something new this time. You know, we hate jokes because people can't tell them, because it's very difficult to tell a joke well. So we are restricting you to a 5 seconds or less rule on a joke.
5 seconds. For the full thing, including the punchline, right?
Yes, 5 seconds or less. I mean, it can be, so then the bartender asks the aardvark, why the long face? I mean, it can be something as simple as that. It could be a one-line joke, it could be a three-line joke, but it has to be 5 seconds or less. That's all we're going to give you to get on the air. The best one, the one we like the most, it is subjective, granted. You will win the final pair of tickets to April Fool's. Just call now with your 5 seconds or less joke.
If you go 6 seconds, you're so out.
You got to time them? You got a timer there with a buzzer? We have a buzzer
and everything? Yeah.
Take my wife, please. Perfect. See, like, something like that.
That would win, by the way. That's still one of the maybe the best jokes ever. So 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are coming up next. But first, it's Friday. That means Ralph's here with the movie beat.
One man.
Save time without the
Someone has been watching.
One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Kevin can't go to any more Kings.
Come on.
I'm telling you, these are the rules.
It's a particularly bad night.
Interesting list of movies out in Southland Cineplexes this weekend, starting with Titanic, but this time it's 3D.
Yay!
Does it sink?
Dude, spoiler alert. Oh. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
It not only sinks, but now you get wet.
Yes.
And you have to climb into a boat at the end of the movie while you're in.
Sweet.
You have to get out of your seat with your popcorn and actually get into one of the lifeboats. You get to see everything in 3D. You get to see Kate Winslet's breasts in 3D. You get to see the boat in 3D. You get to see the iceberg in 3D. You get to see Billy Zane's toupee in 3D. You get to see everything in 3D. Like this famous scene where Leonardo DiCaprio is at the bow of the boat, and he feels like he is literally the king of the world.
I'm the king of the world! Wow! Wow!
Oh, he's spitting on me! Oh, he's spitting on me! Oh, I feel Leo spit! I feel Leo spit on my face!
You're already wet.
Oh!
That's not cool.
Oh, stop spitting, Leo!
Come on now.
That's screaming. And what did you eat? What did you have for lunch? Was that onion?
This week is the 100th anniversary of the launch and sinking of the Titanic, the unsinkable Titanic, the ship that was built so well it could never sink, right?
Yes.
That's why they're re-releasing this to the theaters.
That's right. No, they're re-releasing it so that James Cameron can make more money.
Well, there's
money.
That.
That's why they're releasing it.
Money.
I said money. I can say money.
Can you? Can you say money?
Do I sound drunk when I say money?
When you did the first time, you said,
really?
Money. Money.
It's
a three-syllable word all of a sudden.
Damsels in Distress is a small independent film being released just in Los Angeles and New York City. A funny little quirky tale about a college campus and a trio of girls who's setting out to change the male-dominated environment of the school. Adam Brody stars in the film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Damsels in Distress.
We're also trying to make a difference in people's lives, and one way to do that is to stop them from killing themselves.
No case is too hard or challenging. Would you like a donut?
You should know something about these girls. Their preferred therapy is tap dancing.
You think I'm going to kill myself and make you look bad?
I'm worried that you'll kill yourself and make yourself look bad.
That does make you look bad, by the way, when you kill yourself.
Yeah, it's tough to make yourself look good that way.
Also in limited release, The Hunter, starring Willem Dafoe, Sam Neill. I had no idea this movie even existed. It's a strange mystery sort of thriller about a mercenary sent into the Tasmanian wilderness to hunt for the last Tasmanian tiger.
Huh.
Sounds sort of dramatic, but this trailer, there's never been a more over-the-top trailer in the world.
Uh-oh.
Every trailer that has a suspenseful movie that's trying to sell goes, da-dun. It's got that sound in it.
This thing...
Ta-da's to with an inch of its life.
You're looking for something most believe is extinct. The rarest, most elusive creature on the planet.
What kind of work was your husband doing up there?
He was hunting a tiger.
You know, it don't exist.
My dad saw one last summer. It's a secret.
He went missing last summer. Search and rescue was out for 2 weeks.
Not a trace.
Okay, we get it. All right, it's suspenseful.
That's a joke.
Stop with the ta-da.
That's a joke.
It's not
right?
a joke.
Wow.
The whole time, ta-da. He went looking for the tiger. Ta-da. We saw a tiger. Ta-da. You know there's no such thing as a tiger. Ta-da. Ta-da, 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 ta-da. I'm not even going. I'm not even going because of the ta-da's.
I like that Will of the Bow, though.
Where's the MPAA with the limit on how many ta-da's you can have in a movie?
That's awesome.
You can have only three F-words, but you can have as many ta-tas as you want. Comic-Con, Episode 4, A Fan's Hope. New documentary by legendary documentarian Morgan Spurlock covers one of my favorite events in the world. It's all about the San Diego International Comic-Con, world's largest comic book convention. Kevin Smith, my buddy, is sprinkled throughout this film, as is Stan Lee, of course, legendary creator of such superheroes as Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk.
Did he go down there last year?
This is a couple years ago. This is a couple years ago. Morgan went down there, filmed the convention, and found some people who were going to the convention and followed their storylines throughout the film. So you get an overview of the Comic-Con, and you also get the personal stories of several individuals at the Comic-Con. Two guys, as a matter of fact, both want to be comic book artists. This is part of the Comic-Con that you don't really see as the general public. If you're just going to see what's new and to see the movies and TV shows and to have an experience and buy stuff, that's one thing. But it's also a professional sort of a headhunting process, too, where a lot of the major comic book companies will send down teams that will review your work. If you want to write or draw comic books,
you can try out for a gig.
You can try out. You can audition, really. You can bring your portfolio down and get a chance to be reviewed by some of these comic book companies. So they follow two different artists who are trying to make a career in comic books and the process that they have to go through. They also feature a girl who wants to design costumes for movies and TV shows. And the big costume show that they do down there, the Big Masquerade, it shows her process of getting her friends together and the costumes that they make and how they put that on. And there's also a retailer who's been in the comic business forever, guy who runs Mile High Comics, which I've bought comics by. It was the first sort of internet comic book shop. He is trying to unload. He's deep in debt. He's having a hard time making the business work. He wants to unload one of the rarest comic books in the world for a pretty good price.
This year, I'm taking out Red Raven number one. Red Raven number one is probably the rarest Marvel comic. The price that I'm asking on the Red Raven one is $500,000.
That's all.
Wow!
That's all. Just half a mil. Will he get a buyer? We'll have to see.
Yes. You've got
to watch the movie. There's another couple that wants to get married, wants to get engaged, rather, at the Comic-Con. So they enlist the help of a certain portly director that we all know and love, and how he helps them. It's a great film. It doesn't do any favors really to the geek world. It reinforces a lot of stereotypes about the people who go to Comic-Con. But the truth is, a lot of those stereotypes are true. Right?
Yeah.
Mr. Spurlock joins us in about 45 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so we'll get a chance to talk to him more about
that. Very entertaining film. Even if you're not a comic book geek like myself and you watch it, you will get a kick out of it. I recommend it highly. It's in theaters in limited release this weekend here in Los Angeles. And lastly, American Reunion. It's the cast of American Pie back together again. You got Jason Biggs, Chris Klein, Sean William Scott, all the girls. And Eugene Levy returns also as Jason Biggs' dad. At this point, Jason's character, Jim, his mother has passed away, so Eugene Levy's on his own. And Jason now is married with a kid, and he's trying to help his dad maybe get back out there into the dating world.
Do you think maybe it's time for you to meet someone else?
Dad,
it's okay. What you're going through is perfectly natural.
You know, there are services out there.
Services?
Yeah.
Like what? A happy ending?
What's that?
Because I won't go there.
Oh, my God.
I don't need that. I don't need that kind of massage.
That's not what I was...
Jim,
why do you even know
what?
About
it's
that?
Dangerous.
Yeah.
And you can pick things up. You don't even want to know what you can pick up. Talk to your Uncle Mort.
I'd rather not.
He was in the hospital
that's
for two
disgusting.
Weeks.
He's talking about dating services. Dating services, Jim's dad.
Sounds very funny.
Looks great. I love these films. The first couple especially. And looks like they're back in the top form for American Reunion. Checking that out this week. And Big will be in later on the show today. We'll talk to him. And also his movie wife, Allison Hannigan, will also be checking in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Tomorrow night, April Foolishness at the Gibson Amphitheater. By now, you know who's on the bill. The oldest comedian in the world, Larry King. The shortest comedian in the world, Brad Williams. And everything in between. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your jokes that are 5 seconds or less. Hit it, Steve.
5 second jokes!
See, we're in a hurry. We're very, very busy
today. That's it. 5 second jokes.
All right. How do you think this is going to go?
5 second jokes!
Poorly. Okay. Go poorly. We do have a clock, so you'll be able to... You'll hear that while you're telling the joke, and then right at 5 seconds, there'll be a buzzer. So okay. If you're not done, let's clarify this. They have to be completely finished with the punchline when the buzzer starts.
That's right.
And so it's called...
5 second jokes!
Okay.
We'll just do as many as we can in a limited time that we have, and then we'll just pick a winner. Subjectively, we'll take them in order, starting with line one, and our man Frank will join us here on the Kevin Amici Show. Frank and everybody, thank you for holding on. We know it's been a while, but hopefully you are prepared to tell us your 5 second
jokes. 5 second jokes!
Are you there, Frank?
Hello.
Hey, Frank.
Hello. Good start. I think this is an excellent way to begin the game.
5 second jokes!
Took us longer than 5 seconds to get Frank.
What did Spock find in the Enterprise bathroom? Captain's log.
He was so fast, Kevin, you hadn't even started the timer yet.
That was awesome.
All right, Frank, that was great.
All right, Frank, well
seconds.
Done. See, at least he brings it. He brings it fast. All
I
right.
was about to say, okay, you ready? I'm going to start the timer. All right, let's go with Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey.
You ready for this?
5 second jokes!
I am born ready, yes.
All right, ready, set, go.
They just did a study in the LA Times about dwarves. They found out 6 out of 7 aren't happy.
Yeah,
see, that's a funny joke because the dwarves are the Snow White.
That's pretty good. Told you right. In 5 seconds. Good.
Steve is up next on the Kevin Amici Show Line 3. All right, Steve, a lot of competition. I got to be honest, I'd be happy with either Frank or John winning, but then I haven't heard your joke yet. You ready to go?
Steve?
Hello?
Are you ready, Steve?
Someone's there. Steve.
Yeah. Hey.
You ready?
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Hey, we're doing
5 second jokes.
So you got to pay attention here.
Right. Sorry, bud.
Ready?
I hate you. Right, you guys want to hear a pizza joke?
All right, be quiet. Ready, set, go.
You guys want to hear a pizza joke?
Yes.
Nah, too cheesy.
There you go.
Well, it was less than 5 seconds. I'll give you that.
Leonard is up next, line 4. Leonard, are you ready to tell us your 5 seconds or less joke?
5 second jokes.
What did the sign read at the whorehouse? We're closed. Beat it.
Pretty good. They need a timer.
That was a 1 second joke.
I gotta be honest.
Yeah, the timer is really just getting in the way at this point, I think. Maybe we don't. How about Lewis up next? Is that where we are? Yeah, Lewis on the Kevin Amici Show. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to
5 second jokes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here you go.
What did a bartender say to Sarah Jessica Parker?
Wait.
White long face.
Not bad.
Right. Tim is up next. We got time for just a couple more. Tim, welcome to the Kevin Amici Show. We want to hear your 5 second jokes.
What's up, guys?
Are you ready to go?
Lottery winner comes home, tells his wife, "We won the lottery. Pack your bags." She starts back and says, "Where are we going?" He says,
"He didn't start on time."
I know, but
Well, yeah,
is that my fault?
I just think you guys were a little bit out of sync. I don't think it was your fault. I don't think he had started when the timer started.
Let's give him another try.
Let's give him one more shot.
All right. Okay. I'm going to start the clock in about 2 seconds, okay? Go.
Yeah, he hung up.
He hung up. Okay.
All right, one more because we can't end on that. And I want to know what she was packing her bags for. They won the lottery. She was packing her bags to do what? To go where?
Damn it.
Hey, Nick.
Nick is last.
Nick, you ready?
Y'all ready to go.
5 second jokes.
All right. Ready, set, go.
Yo, so the bank sent me back a check called marked insufficient funds. Them or me?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, Nick.
Frank had the captain's log. Josh had 6 out of 7 dwarves were not happy. I think those were my two favorite. Then we had Leonard with the whorehouse is closed, so beat it. And then the Sarah Jessica Parker with the long face was Lewis. And then we just heard Nick with the bank. We lost a couple of other people who had called in. Who do you guys like the best?
I think I'm going to have to go with captain's log.
Okay. I like it too.
That's my number two, so let's go ahead and bump it up and make Frank our big winner this time. How about that?
Frank.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Boom! I couldn't hear anything. This was the first time I'm hearing your voice again, and I'm glad I won.
Nicely done. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right.
Director Morgan Spurlock next hour. Also, a brand new internet roundup for you. And also Jennifer Love Hewitt later on today's Kevin Amici Show. How about that?
First, yes.
Ralph is here with the show. Ralph, your post is very, very, it's quite a tribute to Mr. West, your lifelong hero at KROQ.com.
Well,
very nice job.
It's more of a tribute to everybody who listens to our show, who made him getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday possible. There was a lot of support when we started talking about it on the air, and people contributed to help pay for the star by downloading the podcast of the evening I did with him and contributing money to the website. So there was a big part of the Kevin and Bean Show and our listeners who were out there yesterday being represented, even those of you who couldn't be there. There were a lot who did show up, but those of you who weren't there, you were well represented. So I wanted to thank everybody who did that.
Our audience surprises us all the time, and I guess it shouldn't surprise us, but always, always, always ready to step up and help out.
Very generous, very supportive, very caring, good people that we have listening to our show, and I wanted to thank them. So the post is up on krock.com, kevinandbean.com. You can check it out, and there's a little piece of tape, a little piece of video from last night's news on Channel 7. George Pinocchio did a little story about Adam West getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and here's just a little taste.
We don't have it?
Why don't we have it?
I don't know.
All right. Never mind. I'll bring you some then.
Here's
next
what happened
hour.
During that whole thing is Omar said something in my headphones that I couldn't hear it. So that's I sent beer mug in. I was like, go ask him what he wants.
Oh,
so
I see.
He hasn't.
I got gotcha. You.
Sorry about that.
No
next
worries.
Time.
Next time. You can go to krock.com.
Omar just said
and
nobody watches
thing.
George Pinocchio anyway, so sorry about it.
George has always been very good to us.
I know. We'll do it in an hour.
And a fan of the show. I know he listens. So well done, Kevin.
We'll do it in an hour.
But Adam did mention the show by name, and he gave a shout-out to you guys who couldn't be bothered to show up there to be there for him. But
I was in the back.
He talked about K-Rock and about the Kevin and Bean Show and me being, you know, his best friend. So that was cool.
One more question about this, because you've been talking to Adam all along, but we had him on even as recently as 2 days ago, and he still made it seem like, it's nice, but it's not that big a deal.
That was, I think, a brave face. A facade. Yeah.
Okay, because I was wondering, at the ceremony when you're there and you see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and all the cameras and you literally are seeing your name in the sidewalk, it has to be, for anyone in show business, that has to be a moment that you go, wow.
He was thrilled. Think. He was good. Thrilled. He was overjoyed. He was like a kid, super excited. His entire family was there, all of his kids, and a lot of his friends showed up, and we had a little reception afterwards where we had lunch, and he was just beaming. I mean, obviously, he was just thrilled.
That's fantastic.
It was very, very cool. It was nice to be a part of it.
He must have been getting to the point where he was just, you know, giving up, just saying, it's been
not
so long.
Yeah.
If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now.
He made a little joke during his acceptance speech that I'm out in front of the Guinness World Book of Records Museum, and he said, I've got a record in here. I'm the actor with the most performances as Batman, most appearances ever as Batman. And he said, I think I'm another record in there, where I'm the actor who waited the longest to get a star on the Hollywood Walk. So
that's probably true.
Yeah, but it was kind of even more special because it took so long for it to happen. There was such anticipation, such a build-up. I mean, literally years have been invested in trying to get this to happen. So for it to happen yesterday was a real thrill. Let's talk now about my next line of work. I decided I'm going to get into the morning television hosting
gig. Is that right?
Gig.
Oh.
Yeah, because I do it already here on the radio.
Sure.
I'm used to these hours by now. I think I'm just going to move over and do the Today Show or Good Morning America, one of those kind of shows.
Will they allow the leather jacket?
They're demanding the leather jacket.
That's part of it.
Okay. The reason I say I'm going to make that move is because Matt Lauer has just signed his new deal with NBC.
Right.
To host the Today Show. He is making... Let's take a stab. If you don't know the story, take a stab. What do you think he's making per year now from NBC to host the Today Show?
It's got
to
be a boatload.
So much.
$10 million.
Now, before you guess, it is 2 hours a day. Keep that in mind.
Okay. What, $10 million is low for two hours a day?
Just give me some perspective. I think Bean's just trying to put it in
two
perspective.
2 hours a day.
2 hours a day.
All right, $15 million.
Network hosting.
I'll go 8 to 10. I need to cover my bases.
8 to 10, you want to cover that?
Yeah.
You want to take that? Lisa, you want to take a range?
I'm going 12 to 15.
Okay.
All right.
His old contract was for $17 million per year.
Oh,
I just want to give you an idea.
Oops.
So the new contract, $30 million per year to host the Today Show. That's what he's being paid.
Good for him.
For 2 hours a day.
Wow. I want that deal.
I mean, I know
I already took it. I told you I'm doing it. Can't all do it.
But when I say I want it, we all know I can't do it. So don't worry about it.
It is the most profitable show on television, which is partly why he's entitled to that much money. I mean, that show makes more money than any other show on TV.
$30 million.
Yeah, but $30 million. Let's rein it in a little bit, people. I like Matt. I want him to do well. I know the show makes money, but $30 million.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
It does.
That just happened.
That blows my mind. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Remember Tyra Banks made that awful book, Model Land, about...
Oh.
Tukey who goes to Model Mountain or something, and she has to swim across Model River in order to get a ring and throw it back into a volcano or something. Whatever BS Harry Potter ripoff she was working on.
That was the worst sounding book ever.
This story makes my day. There's a used bookstore in New York City that was donated some copies of Tyra Banks' novel Model Land, right. Autographed copies. And apparently they were they were thrown away
yes.
by Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Because they were personalized. There were handwritten post-it notes to each sister in each of the books. So excited to share my fantasy novel Model Land with you. Hope you enjoy it. Stay fierce and fabulous. And smize.
What's that mean?
Smize is a term that Tyra invented for how models smile with their eyes.
Ooh.
So they threw those books away.
That's funny.
They never opened
them. They never
those
opened
books.
Them. They got donated to a used bookstore, and now the bookstore is trying to sell both of them for $100 a piece.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Here's a new copy of my book. It's modeling. It's a new book. I wrote it myself. Oh, thank you, Tyra. Thank you so much. That clunk. You yeah. know, the minute she's out of earshot.
I signed it for you, too. I signed
people
it.
People are throwing those away. Today's celebrity birthday is Billy Dee Williams, 75 years old today. Frank Black of the Pixies turns 47. Paul Rudd, super talented and funny guy, is 43 years old. Zach Braff from Scrubs turns 37. Brett Harrison from Reaper and that show. Did we have come up with a name for that show yet? Over there on Fox?
Breaking in,
right?
Right?
With Christian Bale?
Slater.
Bale? Is he in that show? Little Sister Christian?
Just
who's on that show?
Worse and worse.
No! It's a Friday and no one wants to be here. Yeah, he's 30 years old, and actress Diora Baird. Maybe the best set of natural boobs in the business. Well, since Kate Upton came along and kind of upset
follow
that
her
apple
on
cart.
But. Twitter as well, too, by the way, because she puts up a lot of pictures.
She's 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Don't forget, noon today, go buy your tickets. Got to be a street team member. They'll
no, Kevin, that
password.
Was no. That was yesterday.
Tickets
sold out for the 20th annual K-Rock Weedy Rose Dee Fiesta, which is happening on Saturday, Cinco de Mayo, 2012, at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Thank you to everybody who bought tickets, helping us support some great local charities. We will be giving away tickets, as you know, here on K-Rock. So please keep listening. It's our old friend Morgan Spurlock in the studio here on the Kevin Bean Show.
How are you, man? It's good. Great to be back.
I know what I wanted to ask you first thing, and then we have to talk about you being on Loveline for the first time last night. And that is, when you're a documentary filmmaker and you're lucky enough to get a movie made like you did a few years ago, your first movie made, it must seem like a miracle that it actually comes out and it gets in theaters and people say, don't you think it'll never happen again? Like, there's no way I'll ever get another one made. It seems like every documentary you make must feel like you're pushing a giant boulder uphill to get it into theaters.
Well, I tell friends of mine all the time who are also filmmakers that anytime somebody gets there, like, oh, I just finished my movie, I'm like, congratulations. That's great because it is like you've run a marathon. It's like, good job. You made it. You know.
But it's weird because those of us that aren't in that business, we think once you made one.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there. You can keep making them for the rest of your life.
No, it's
not
like,
the case, huh?
Especially with docs, like every movie, you're chasing money, you're chasing financing, you're chasing distributors, like every single one, you're working just as hard. Yeah.
And that's what I thought, especially with you, because, I mean, that was, in my mind, and I don't know if this is true or not, part of what The Greatest Movie Ever Sold was about is, I need to figure out a way to pay for this movie, so this is the way I'm going to do it. And then I thought, well, now you're doing the Comic-Con movie.
Completely paid for by Marvel and DC.
That's what I was wondering, is who do you get to pick up the tab for something like that? I mean, it still costs a lot of money to make a movie.
It costs a lot of money to make a movie. And it was hard finding financing for this film. Like, when we started going around pitching this movie to investors.
Why?
Well, because they said, here's the thing. I said, we love the idea, Comic-Con. Oh, yeah, you're going to follow people in, tell the story of this place. And they said, well, you're going to be in the film, right? And I said, no, I'm not going to be in the movie. I'm not going to be in one frame of the film.
I want to make it about
these
people.
It's about them, not me. And they're like, well, we'll give you the money if you'll be in the movie, but if you're not going to be in the film, we won't. And I was like, great, then we'll find the money somewhere else. And
why did they care whether you were in it? Because they feel like at this point you're a brand and people know your face and will be more likely to go see it?
That's right. Yeah, they were so kind of like locked into the idea that the only way this is going to work is if we have you be in your film. And then we met with Thomas Tull from Legendary Pictures, who is a big supporter of documentaries, loved the idea of this. I mean, this is a guy who changed kind of fanboy films forever with Dark Knight and Watchmen 300. And I met with him and literally in the room, Thomas said, he goes, I love this. He goes, I'm in. He goes, I will help you.
Great.
And so he came on to help us find all the financing, to help us produce the film. I mean, the guy's a rock star.
It's a really weird situation where you have to say, If you're going to insist that I'm in the project,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That's really bizarre.
You want me to be in a movie? I'm leaving.
Especially in Hollywood, you know? That's right. Most people are dying to be in the movie,
that's
not
right.
You.
Yeah.
What made you want to do a movie about Comic-Con? Because I sense that you're a filmmaker who is not opportunistic. You're doing things that you're interested in.
I'm,
it's the
I'm
impression
here.
I get.
I'm wearing my Milwaukee t-shirt right now as I'm here. Yeah, so it's like I grew up a big geek. You know, I loved comics and video games, this whole kind of world. Like, when Michael Ironside made that guy's head explode in Scanners, it changed my life forever. Like, that was the moment that made me want to make movies.
Did you go down to Comic-Con before?
The first time I went was in 2009. I got okay. hired to do the Simpsons special, the 20th anniversary special for
Fox.
And so when they called me for that, and I'd wanted to go for years and years, and I never could, and as soon as that got greenlit, I was like, we're going to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We're going down there. We're going to find Simpsons super fans. And while we were there shooting, I was like, this is a movie. Like, this place, it's its own story. And later that night.
It's its own world.
It's its own world.
It really is.
Completely. And I met Stan Lee that night, you know, yeah. at a party. So I went over to kiss the ring of Stan Lee and tell him how much he changed my life as a kid. You know, right. his comics made me want to tell stories. And I said, Mr. Lee said,
kiss the shoe, not the ring.
Kiss the shoe, Spurlock. And I said, and he said, thank you. That's so nice of you. And he goes, you know, we should make a movie together. We should make a documentary. We should make a documentary about Comic-Con. And I said, yes, we should, Mr. Lee. You know, and like literally.
And by the way, Stan Lee in the film, and is he. Every exposure we've ever had to him, and we've met Mr. Lee a few times, and he's been on the show a few times, he seems like the nicest, happiest guy in the world.
He is amazing.
And that's what it's like in the movie is he's just still, I mean, 60 years after creating Iron Man or whatever, he still is just as thrilled as the day he drew it when people come up to him and talk to him about it. It's amazing.
And you see him like at the con, and it's like Jesus walking through that place. Like literally the seas part. Like people like, they're like, oh, Stan. They're screaming, yelling for him. I mean, it's like a rock star. It's incredible to see him go through that
place. They put him in a Pope mobile so he's safe.
That's right.
Now, I would imagine a movie about Comic-Con, and we have director Morgan Spurlock in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. The film, and Ralph just reviewed it last hour and gave it big thumbs up, is called Comic-Con, Episode 4, A Fan's Hope. Hilarious title. It is in limited release, but you can go to comicconmovie.com to find out where.
Yeah.
I would imagine the biggest problem with this movie is what to leave out, because make five documentaries about what goes on at Comic-Con.
Well, and plus, we came into Comic-Con following, you know, we followed 10 different people into con, so we shot almost the entire movie while we were there.
Right.
So we shot 650 hours over about 4 days of Comic-Con.
Who are some of the more interesting people that you follow?
Well, there's a guy, you know, one of my favorite stories is there's a guy named Chuck Rosansky who has Mile High Comics, one of the biggest, you know, comic book retailers in the country. And he's been in this business for decades. And so he's going to Comic-Con in the midst of the comic book business falling apart. Like, nobody's buying comic books anymore. And he's got to basically make enough money at Comic-Con to see him through the year. Like, that's how much money they make at Comic-Con. And so he's there just, you know, seeing like all the comic book aisles. People who are selling comic books are kind of empty. Not a lot of people buying comics.
Wow.
You know, there's people who are there looking for them, but it's not, you know, not the way it used to be back in the good old days. And
I'm sure a lot of people that used to want to buy now are just looking.
Yeah, there's a lot of people just looking now. And that's the thing is it's not like the comic book industry is dying. Like, there's still plenty of people making comics, but they're just not printing them in paper. Everything's going digital. Like, I read more comics on my iPad now than I ever did.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
Yeah.
And I love his story because he's selling one of the rarest comic books in the world. He's asking $500,000
for the Red Raven.
The Red Raven in perfect condition, and I guess this was a Marvel comic that had a bunch of characters in it that had never appeared anywhere else, and there are people who collect Marvel, so if you don't have that, you're really missing a major piece. But at one point, Kevin, he's so desperate, and I don't think I'm giving anything away, but he's driving down the street, and he goes, man, if only Nicolas Cage weren't broke, he'd want to buy this. I mean, he's just like, in his mind, he's thinking, who can I sell this to? Because as much as he loves it, that's it's his tough. Crown jewel.
Yeah.
He realizes, I need to make some money if I want to keep this comic business going, and I've dedicated my whole life to it. I'm not just going to have it disappear because I'm not willing to part with this comic.
I'm sure a lot of people had told him, look, you might just have to close the doors. I mean, everybody fights, but record stores are going out of business.
That's right.
Bookstores are going out of business.
Yeah.
It just happens. I mean,
yeah. No, and he's been ultimately now what's happened is he sold a lot of these big expensive comics that he's had, you know, post us even shooting the film.
All right. We need to take a break. Morgan Spurlock is here. And the name of it is Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope. And it's going to be on Hulu.
It's it'll be on Hulu later this year. Right now, it's on iTunes, so people can watch it on iTunes this weekend. It'll be on demand today. So if they go home, you don't want to go to the theater in Santa Monica, you can watch it, on iTunes or literally on the comfort of your couch.
Fantastic! So you're going to make sure everybody sees it before you put it in the theaters.
Yeah, it's in theater. Well, it'll spread across theaters, and then because people will come to theaters. Like we've had all the premieres we've had, people come in costumes. So we're creating.
Secondary documentary.
It literally is like the new Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like people show up in their costumes. It's amazing.
Sure.
Why didn't you wait to premiere this at Comic-Con, Morgan, or is that a dumb question?
Well, we just wanted to, we wanted to make sure that we had the film out in the spring. I feel like there's two great times to release documentaries. I feel like March and April are great windows for docs, and like September, October. Like you get in the summer, you start fighting against every big summer movie.
Right. You get lost.
That's right. And if you wait till after October, you're fighting against every movie trying to win an Oscar.
Right. So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Great film. More with Morgan Spurlock right after this on the Kevin and Bean. We are always happy when Mr. Morgan Spurlock makes some time to stop by the Kevin and Bean Show. He is in studio right now. You're going to be back at the Lemley in Santa Monica tonight, right?
I'll be at Lemley in Santa Monica tonight. Yeah, doing a Q&A for the opening night.
A 7:45 screening, and then the 10, you're going to be doing a Q&A after the first screening, I guess.
After the first screening, they'll intro the second
before
screening.
Before the second screening. Okay, and that is, of course, of the new film we're talking about called Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope, which is also available on video on demand and iTunes. You know, we mentioned this to you during the song, but it's worth getting some further thoughts on. You didn't have a point of view at all in this film. You presented these people who go to and work at and adore and worship Comic-Con without comment. How come?
Well, I mean, I wanted the film and the people who are in the film just to kind of express themselves and tell their own stories. I didn't want to come in and say, and here's what I think, people. I wanted people to kind of walk away and say, here's what I think of Comic-Con. Here's what I think of the folks who go. What is the value of it? I think that's a better way to make a movie.
When you see it from a distance, Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We've made fun of it for years and years and years.
Yeah, just, you think you, just freak show. That's
losers,
what you think.
Freak show, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Then you go down there and you realize these are all really good people.
Yeah.
And they're non-judgmental, and they're having a great time.
That's right.
And they don't care what you think. And then all of a sudden you go, well, that's kind of hard to make fun of.
And you go, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why am I so abnormal?
Then it's bad on me.
Well, I love people who are sports fans. Like, I got a lot of good friends who are super, super sports fans who make fun of Comic-Con and what it is. Yet they love going to football games and painting their face and taking their shirts off.
Right.
And I'm like, just so you know, you're the same person. You are the exact same guy. You're passionate about this. They're passionate about that. It's the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't make fun of comic books if you're in a fantasy baseball league.
Okay? That's exactly right. Ever.
Exactly.
Ever. Yeah, you are in the Dungeons and Dragons of baseball, just so you know. Yeah.
Anyway, the movie is a fantastic. You mentioned as you sat down that you didn't get much sleep last night because you were apparently partying with Kevin.
I was.
But you sound fine, which is interesting to me. Tell me about doing Loveline for the first time last night as a guy who has been a listener for so many years.
I'm such a fan of that show, and so to get to be in there was so fantastic and surreal. And that's why I told Dr. Drew. I was like, this is exciting for me. Like, to actually get to be here in the room and be the guy who now I get to give the bad advice. That makes me really happy.
Now, did you have the same reaction that we do when we host it? Somebody will ask a question.
Yeah.
And we instantly just look at Dr. Drew. We don't know.
I'm like, I am so not qualified to answer any of these questions. I'm like, Dr. Drew, why don't you take that one?
Drew, go ahead. You take that one. Yeah. He knows everything. Were you surprised by any of the questions that people called up with?
I guess there is a safety in radio where nobody can see your face and know who you are. But I love just how open people are to talking about whatever it is, whether it's their cheating spouses or the finding pictures of the girl called last night who found pictures of her family on her boyfriend's computer, girlfriends of her. And girls and her sister on her boyfriend's computer that he then admitted he was, pleasing himself by looking at.
Wow.
Which I was like, wow. He just admitted that. And she's calling us to talk about it.
The shocking thing for me, and this happens at least once or twice per Loveline episode, is a 14-year-old will call in who's talking about the most depraved sexual positions and tools and fantasy role play that you can imagine because they're already bored with straight sex.
That's
14 and they're already over the missionary style.
My boyfriend wants to do the rusty trombone. Should I do that? You're 9. Why are you asking this question?
Yeah. And see, and I'm 41 and I'm still just pining for missionary. Whatever
those are the good old
days. That's right.
Before we let you go, Morgan, Comic-Con episode 4 of Fans Hope out now. Please see it. You really, really are going to enjoy it. But you already have another movie in the can. You're already getting ready to premiere something else. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, we're finishing our next movie. It's going to premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival in January on April 21st. And it is a film that we did with Will Arnett and Jason Bateman, two incredibly funny guys. Love both those guys. And it is a movie that looks at the magical world of manscaping. It's a movie all about male grooming. And it's called Mansome.
Handsome.
So if you are,
it's a
if you
documentary
are,
also?
It's a documentary. So if you are manly and handsome, you may be mansome.
Am I going to learn things I never knew about what men do?
You will learn all kinds of things. There's a product in the film that we share with the world called Fresh Balls. It is a new product.
Nope.
Yep.
That doesn't exist.
It is a real product.
That is not a product.
Real product coming soon to the Kevin and Bean Show. I will be back with samples,
please,
gentlemen.
women have been doing the trimming, the underneath the clothes
everything
trimming for a long time, right?
Yeah.
But it's relatively recent for most men, right?
Yeah. It's one of those things where suddenly, you know, a lot of it came from the corporations where they realized, wow, we're missing a whole demographic. We could get these guys to start doing this. Because you think back to when the Old Spice and Skin Bracer ads used to be on, and it was just this very simple manly things, and now there's body washes and creams, and it is a multi-billion dollar business where they are completely like softening dudes
up. How do you
up.
Work those two actors into this thing? They host it? They go around and interview?
They basically pop in and out throughout the throughout the film, you know, kind of talking about what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be manly? Yeah.
That's great. Well, find out more details on this movie, ComicConMovie.com, of course, MorganSpurlock.com, and you can follow Morgan on Twitter at MorganSpurlock. It's always great to see you, man. I hope you never have to get a real job.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm hoping every day.
Jason Biggs and Allison Hannigan from American Reunion join us later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Jennifer Love Hewitt's coming up, and we're going to talk about a woman in Britain who has just become an international sensation because she wrote an article talking about her life, her so hot. Excuse me. Her life is so difficult because she is so hot. She's too attractive to walk through life, Kevin, and not be annoyed by it all the time.
I have a little bit of that, so I totally get where she's coming from.
I'm so attractive. You can't imagine the problems I have.
You really have to plan ahead.
And then you see a picture. We're going to have to put up a picture, Bean, because...
I think we have one, yeah.
You see the picture, then you go, oh, that doesn't happen with you.
it's a burden. It's a curse is what it is.
Yeah.
It's to be this attractive.
Right.
It disrupts every room she walks into. So we'll talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes. Plus, Ralph has the showbiz beat on the way, but first, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser, pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing, laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You can see the Internet Roundup. There are a bunch more that we have time to feature, so just check them all out. A lot of them are very funny. As you know, we're a little bit obsessed with Kate Upton. Just a tiny bit.
Well, she's the best person in the world ever.
And this video's been up for a while, but we have never put it in the Internet Roundup. It's the Kate Upton staring contest, where she dares you to have a stare-off with her. You have to look at her eyes.
Nope.
Oh, that's impossible.
Yeah, nope. And you will realize immediately when you see her in a bikini that she's adjusting, that you can't do it. It's not possible.
You have to last 45 seconds in order to get the goods. Think you can do it? Ready? Stare.
Yeah, I didn't even try. I got to be honest.
She wins all staring contests.
Yes,
but then
she
wins at life.
I'm not sure why Bar Raffaele, who is another supermodel, Victoria's Secret, everything else, swimsuit edition, is playing tennis in her underwear. Not exactly sure why that is, but it is happening.
You playing tennis in your underpants. But I tell you what they don't know. How much pressure you're under.
If you're feeling under pressure, these pants will keep you fresher.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is it a commercial for...
Yeah.
For underwear,
I, you never hear anyone say underpants.
No, that's true.
That's the funny term.
That's the funny term for it, yeah. Bill Murray threw out the first pitch at the Cubs game. Bill Murray is a weird, weird guy.
And a lifelong Cubs fan. He goes to almost all of them.
Exactly. And they asked him to throw out the first pitch. So what he did was he grabbed the ball and handed it to the catcher and then ran the bases, which no one was expecting. Went all the way to first, second, third, fourth, and then slid at home. Then walked out to the mound and threw the pitch.
Bill Murray just introduced, and I guess he's going to... run the bases first.
He's not going to have enough left to throw a first pitch.
Swing and a miss.
On a pitch in the dirt.
It was in the dirt. All right.
Now, two things.
That
One
happens
is,
to the best of us.
It was hilarious what he did. And if you believe Kevin, he ran to first, second, third, then fourth,
did
and
I
then
say fourth?
Home.
No, I didn't say that.
You did. And I? Then he threw the pitch right into the dirt exactly as you did. Because
yes.
I think a lot of people are surprised who have never played baseball, you know, on a real field, how far it is.
Yeah,
from,
that's true.
From where the pitcher stands to where the catcher stands. And they always underthrow it. But he was hilarious and did get a huge reception there at Wrigley Field.
This is the best of American Pie's Steve Stifler auto-tuned.
Oh.
So all of Stifler's lines put to auto-tune. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah? Hang out with my wang out. It's very funny, and it's very visual, so you have to watch it because they put the video along with the music. It's fantastic. It really makes me excited about seeing the new movie. Jimmy Kimmel has YouTube challenges. I don't know if you've seen this before, but he'll take an idea and then he'll tell people, make your own YouTube video like this and then send it in. And
like he did with eat all your kids' Halloween candy and then the next day tell them that they don't have any and then film their reaction and send it in and he put it on the show. He comes up with those all the time. They're great.
So we talked about, Ralph talked about Alicia Silverstone. And about how she feeds her children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that she chews up her food first and then spits it into her kid's mouth, which is super gross. And Jimmy Kimmel challenged his audience to do that. And they did. And this is one of the people, one of the kids.
Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, I Silverstone my kid.
I don't want your germs to chew it.
The doctor said it was healthy.
Liar.
Daddy ate all your Dino Bites? And then chewed them up and spit it back out on your plate.
Listen.
What is this, another Jimmy Kimmel thing?
It is a Jimmy Kimmel thing!
Fantastic.
Say hi to Jimmy Kimmel.
Hi, Jimmy Kimmel. You suck.
Yeah, these little kids, man, they may trust their parents, but not enough to eat pre-chewed food. They are not having any of this.
Now, Charlize Theron, one of the most beautiful women in the world. One of the best women in the world. She's got a great sense of humor, great personality. There's nothing you can say bad about her. But she doesn't have a sex tape. And that seems to be a problem. So she is trying to get a sex tape. And it's going to be pretty extreme from the sounds of it, from the looks of it. You should go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and check it out. There's guys standing there and they're in restraints with ball gags. And it looks like something's about to go down that no one's going to enjoy.
Looks like a David Lynch movie.
Except for her, yeah.
Move over Paris and Kim. Because I'm into some real kinky shit.
Dudes! Cry for me louder!
That's
what?
She's screaming at them.
Charlize Theron is burning you with scalding hot milk!
Time for the bleeding.
Time for the bleeding.
Oh, my God.
It looks like the sex dungeon at Marilyn Manson's home. It's
it
like
does.
The most deprived or depraved, whichever word is correct there. Charlize Theron sex tape you've ever seen. It's great.
It is great. KevinandBean.com, KROQ.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
You are listening to the world-famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Handed it to the catcher and then ran the bases. Went all the way to first, second, third, fourth, and then slid it home.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Wow, it's got those five bases now. I didn't know they had. I knew they changed some of the rules in baseball. I didn't know they added a base.
Bean said, by the way, when we got off the air, Bean said, by the way, you said rounded fourth and then went home. And I was like, no, I didn't. That's ridiculous.
That was on the air also, by the way.
Oh, it was on the air.
Yeah, that was also on the air.
That's hard to keep track.
It's tough sometimes when you're on fourth, man. You're stuck on fourth. You're thinking, how can I get to home?
Right.
Man? I hope somebody will knock me in.
That's my point.
All right. The woman who's too hot to enjoy her life because everywhere she goes, people are giving her free stuff and treating her differently. And women don't even want to be in the same room with her because they look like dog food in comparison. We're going to talk about her coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Jennifer Love Hewitt, who actually is hot enough to be that woman, on the way next hour, too. First, Ralph's got the show biz beat. What's going on?
Yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's hot enough to be that woman, who's complaining that no one ever hits on her. She never gets any attention from men.
Not really complaining, but she does
she's
say...
she's mentioned that she doesn't get a lot of attention from men.
She does say that guys don't come up and hit on her.
What bizarro world are we living in?
I don't know.
Where the ugly girls are complaining they're too beautiful, get too much attention. The beautiful girls are complaining no one pays any attention to them.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the guys they want to hit on them aren't hitting on them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the losers and the people...
But we've talked about this before, where celebrities oftentimes, the regular people who ordinarily would be coming up and talking to the person that pretty think she's unapproachable because she's famous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask her out because she's Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yep.
I bet that's happening.
She's really Jennifer Love Hewitt, too, by
she
the way.
Sure so is. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Man.
She sure is.
Want to give you a heads up, a little different schedule this week. Tonight is Hollywood Babylon, the show I do with Kevin Smith up at the John Lovitz Theater on
Friday
Universal
nights.
City Walk.
Make
Friday
it
night. Tonight is Friday night, yes.
Friday
tonight.
Nights.
Just tonight, though, Friday. Usually it's Saturdays.
You're
but
ending
tonight,
it? Oh, that's sad.
No,
I
we're
thought
not
it was
ending
successful.
It. Tonight,
but next week, isn't it?
Next week it'll be Saturday, Lisa.
Oh, it
but
is
tonight
Saturday.
It's Friday,
Friday
because we're doing April Foolishness on a Saturday, so we've changed the scheduling to tonight at 10 p.m., me and Kevin Smith talking about all things show business. We have a great time doing it. We hope you come out and join us. You can go to Babylon Kev or Babylon Ralph or thelovitz.com for details and for tickets. Love to have you come out. We will be talking about the fact that yesterday Adam West got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a project that has been in the years in the making. I dedicated a large part of my time to
you
it.
You did.
His family, also his lovely daughter Nina and her husband were also very crucial in trying to make this happen. And finally, we pulled it off yesterday. It was a great event, and I thought it was very nice of Adam to give some props to this show and to all the K-Rock listeners and to the station for helping him achieve this goal. I thought it was very cool of him. Here's a little piece of his acceptance speech from the star ceremony yesterday.
I owe a special thanks to K-Rock Radio. Yes. To Kevin and Bean and Ralph Garman here, who spoke a moment ago. Ralph, you are a fine actor. You're a noted collector. You're a radio personality. You're all that stuff. But most of all, you're a good friend. And it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for being here today. And thank you, Kevin and Bean, and all of your listeners. What you did, you just kept these people fired up into a frenzy so they would send money and pay for my star.
We appreciate the fact there was no out-of-pocket cost for him himself. So.
Who's Adam West?
Stop it! Stop! You burn that clip! Burn it!
By the way, it was really nice of him to give us props, and I
yes.
think Ralph deserves it. Bean and I don't really.
No, but you guys were absolutely on board.
No, but let me finish. None of us should have had to step in and try to make that happen. That's absurd.
It should have happened 30
yes.
years ago.
Yeah. It's yeah. absurd absolutely. That it took yeah. us to champion something like that to make it happen.
And I know that we're all basking in the glow, and we love Adam, and we're so happy for Adam. But can I just ask this question, Ralph Garman?
Uh-oh.
What's it going to take to get Al Yankovic a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Hey, dude, I can't do it all.
For seriousness,
I can't do everybody.
Though.
You do one.
That's
you
right.
go
no, but,
do it.
But that's
I'm saying,
on you.
I'm saying now that Adam West is done,
uh-huh.
how about turning the Garmy on to Weird Al? Where's that star?
But, dude, I'm exhausted. Do you ask Eli Manning to go out and play another quarter of football after he's won the Super Bowl?
Right.
Don't I at least get an off season?
This is your time to quarterback, Bean. Step up.
I don't know, man.
Take a couple of snaps. See how it feels.
Come on, okay. Tebow. Right. Step up. Earn that starting QB position.
You guys are with me, though. You wouldn't try to fight that if we spent a little time on trying to get Al.
But
one,
you
right?
do the legwork. You put together the petition that you have to get together and all the paperwork and all this stuff. You do all that.
It
and
is,
we'll just nod our heads and say, good for you.
It is, for those of you that don't know, $25,000.
$30,000
that you have to pay yourself, which is crazy.
Well, you don't have to pay it yourself. Someone has to pay it.
It
you can pay it yourself if
somewhere.
You want
oh,
to, or the studio can pay it, or Weird Al's label could pay it if they wanted to. I mean, certainly they
well,
could. So
Al's suing his label for $5 million
well,
right now. So
maybe they're not going to pony up the cash.
But I will say that there already is a site dedicated to the prospect of Al needs
right.
a star. So maybe we'll talk to those guys next week and find out where they're at and what needs to happen next.
All right. Okay. $30,000 though. Bean's got that in his couch cushions at home. He could easily buy Al a star, for God's sakes.
But it takes more than just money, as you know. You need some yahoos to thumbs up it, right?
You
somebody's
got to
vote for your.
You
people.
Know how to get it is not to call the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce yahoos.
Yeah,
that would be a good starting point, I think, for you, Bean.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I had conversations with some of the people down there yesterday, and they have an interesting opinion of Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not helping your cause.
They have hated us for a long time.
And from what they quoted me from you saying, they might have just cause for it all.
I don't blame them.
Yes.
Well, our complaint, though, and I'm not trying to take over your show biz here, though.
Don't compound it.
by going on and repeating your complaints.
No, no, no.
Just keep your mouth shut, and then maybe you'll have more luck with Al.
This isn't going to hurt.
Than I
had
with
Al. Our complaint was they were giving it to too many people who weren't famous. They're giving it to freaking Ellen Kay of Kiss FM, people like that that no one wants. No one. She doesn't need a star. Instead of spending their time giving it to people who deserve stars like Adam West and Weird Al Yankovic.
I understand your problem, but the more you bitch and moan and complain about their work, the less inclined they are to lean in your direction when you're asking them for a favor.
Hmm. I love them, and they're always right.
That's what you've always said.
You have always said that. All right, we're out of time already. Not much time today, but more showbiz news in an hour, including how MTV's upset that the teen moms are all getting boob jobs.
Wow.
Well, at least their priorities are straight. Teen moms are busy getting breast enlargements.
Wow.
Yeah. And MTV's like, oh, that isn't how we want to portray these girls.
Really?
As boneheads? That's how you should portray them. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of boobs, Deora Baird, one of our favorite actresses. She is 29 years old today. Actor Brett Harrison, formerly star of Reaper. I loved that show on the CW. I was sorry to see that go away. But now he's on Breaking In on Fox. He's 30 years old today. Zach Braff, 37 years old. Paul Rudd turns 43. Frank Black of the Pixies is 47, and Billy Dee Williams. He was Lando Calrissian, you know.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The bar closes, and you feel like falling down. I'll carry you home tonight.
106.7 K-Rock. Is that you singing?
I was getting my karaoke on, sorry.
Yeah, don't do that. It's the world-famous K-Rock. It is 11 minutes after 8.
Jennifer Love Hewitt later this hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Jason Biggs and Allison Hannigan from American Reunion still to come too. This is a lot of show is what this is, my friends. Go to krock.com right now. This minute. I'll wait.
It's okay. You can talk while they do it.
And you will look at a picture of a young lady who has caused a firestorm in her native country and all around the world with an article that she wrote for the Daily Mail, I want to say, newspaper. About how, well, here's the headline. There are downsides to looking this pretty. Why Women Hate Me for Being Beautiful by Samantha Brick. And Samantha, you'll see a photo of her. She says that her life is miserable because she is so attractive. She says women hate her. She says she has lots of girlfriends that have gotten married. They've never asked her to be a bridesmaid because, why do you think she thinks she'll upstage the brides?
She's so pretty. Everyone will stare at her.
She says she has trouble with relationships at work because she makes everybody uncomfortable with how pretty she is. She says she does everything she can to dress down, but people still look at her and comment on her. And guys are always sending over drinks, and it just goes on and on and on.
Dude, I totally understand what she's going through.
Because sometimes you feel like a piece of meat.
Yeah, the way you look at me even just.
I can't help myself, Kevin.
Let me just as an aside say, if you look like this woman, don't be talking like this. Because
you don't think she's hot enough to pull that kind of talk off?
She's a 6 at best. You'll see the picture at the website.
Do we know where she lives? Because my thought yesterday, I was thinking about this, is she lives in some small...
In England somewhere.
Tiny mining town.
So maybe
where
for that town
for
she's attending?
For her town, she's really attractive?
But she's not very attractive. But no.
Well, I mean, she talks in the article a lot about things that happened to her in London, in offices in London. She talks about being on a flight to New York. So it sounds like she might be a bigger city girl. But Kevin's right. She's not. I mean, look, she's no Megan Fox. She's no Jennifer Love Hewitt. For
you
God's
wouldn't
sakes.
Look at her and say she's ugly. But you
she kind of looks like Naomi Watts, I think, but not as pretty as even Naomi Watts.
But you also wouldn't look at her and say, "Wow, her life must be difficult because she's so hot."
Chance in hell.
That's just not the point. And here's a little bit of her talking about what it's like to live through this hell. And then we're going to take phone calls, and we've done this topic before from actual hot girls. Who really do sometimes have a difficult time with the downside of being hot. Keeping in mind that it's much worse to be ugly. Let's all just put that out there.
Yeah, these are first world problems. Yes. If the trouble in your life is that you're too attractive. But we do want to hear if what Samantha Brick is going to be describing in this clip is something that is real, that actually does happen to you. And ladies, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. But listen to her and this newscaster get into it on this discussion.
We didn't know who Samantha Brick was this time last week. Now she's got the whole country up in arms over her Why Women Hate Me for Being Beautiful article.
No, I don't regret writing it. The header line for the feature was, Why Does the Sisterhood Hate Attractive Women? And I stand by that, that women do not like attractive women.
I have no problem with you thinking that you're attractive.
Now, let me just butt in here and say, do women hate other attractive women?
I think if a woman is drop-dead gorgeous, you don't hate her, but you don't necessarily bring her with you to go to a bar to meet guys, you know? Yeah. You pick your times.
Right, but you don't automatically hate somebody because she's prettier or whatever.
No, there's some really cool women that are.
It depends on how their attitude.
Absolutely.
And by the way, this woman's attitude, you can tell, is what drives everybody crazy.
Right.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. She is, almost by definition, she can't be considered beautiful because she is so ugly on the inside.
Correct, yes. Here's a little bit more.
I do have a problem with you saying, I probably won't like you when you walk into a room because you're attractive, and I do take offense.
It's proven your thesis then, you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Women do not like attractive women, and that has been proved to me by the thousands of vile messages I've had on Twitter, the thousands of vile emails I've had to my personal account.
If you don't mind me saying, it could be because you're saying I'm too hot.
And if you were really hot and you write an article like that, I'm not liking you, probably.
Yeah, that's why people hate her. Not because she's too hot, like she's saying. It's the article came first.
Yes.
And then people went, hey, F you.
You really think you're better than everybody else, yeah.
This isn't something to be complaining about, even if it were true, by the way, and that's who we're looking for. If you have had this problem that she's talking about at 1-800-520-1067, even if it were true, it's not the type of thing you write an article about and put in the newspaper complaining about, because you're not going to get a lot of sympathy there, sister.
Nobody wants to hear that.
She talks about how, for instance, in the work environment, other women dislike her because the men in the office, up to and including her boss, always pay more attention to her because she's so pretty.
Now, by the way, I don't
that might happen. That might be legitimate. That might happen to some people, right?
Not her. But of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
That can happen.
I believe that happens all the time, of course. I think pretty, beautiful people get...
They get hired sometimes,
treatment.
Even though they had a bad job interview, all sorts of things.
This woman went on with one more comment that I wanted to play for you.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
So I don't know what that's about.
I don't think that was her. No, you're right. It does happen. I mean, we're a hell of a lot nicer to Lisa than we are to Beer Mug. I mean, let's all be honest here, right? But I don't know. Samantha has really stepped in it this time. And she's not lying when she says she has gotten thousands of tweets and Facebook posts
she
and
should,
emails
though.
And letters and
she
everything
should,
like that.
She should, because... You know, that would be like me saying that. You know what? If I said, wow, I just everywhere I go, people look at me like a sex object. And then people would see me and they'd go, what the F are you talking about?
You know, and if your default position when people don't like you is it's because you're too hot.
Right. I'm too beautiful.
You need to reexamine everything else about you aside from your looks.
Right.
Here's my favorite line. Here's how the article ends. So now I'm 41 and probably one of the very few women entering her fifth decade who would welcome the decline of my looks. I can't wait for the wrinkles and the gray hair that will help me blend into the background. Perhaps then the sisterhood will finally stop judging me so harshly on what I look like and instead accept me for who I am.
Is she insane?
The sisterhood is rejecting the inside of you, woman.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Monique, thank you so much for calling. We're going to get to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean
Show. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock, about 15 minutes away from Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes.
Yeah. Very excited. Looking forward to talking to her. And go to krock.com to see a post of something we will bring up with her about this controversy about them. It looks like reducing her boobs in some of the ads for her new TV show, The Client List, and that's unacceptable.
That's outrageous. Somebody
right
should
now,
be in jail.
We're talking about another photo you can see at krock.com right now, which is Samantha Brick. She is the woman who has caused quite the controversy by saying her life is difficult because she is too attractive. There's a lot of downsides to being too beautiful. Listener Lindsay emails in, hey, I hate going out because I get all the attention and my friends don't get any, and it's just sad. That's what she's talking about. Let's see what Monique has to say on line six. Monique, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's the problem here, and how hot are you?
Hello.
Hi
there.
Hi, this is Monique.
Hi.
I'm pretty hot. I'm 5'5", I'm French, you know, blonde hair, big green eyes.
Right.
But it took a long time to get me to where I am today, and you know, a lot of people don't take that seriously. You know, I was a flight attendant and actual preschool teacher out in Alaska. And now, you know, I work with animals. I've been doing it for 3 years, and people kind of just look at me like, okay.
You work at an animal hospital?
I did for 3 years. Mm-hmm.
So people size people size you up immediately by your looks, and then they think, well, there must not be much there. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, because I'm pretty kind of petite in a way, as well. I'm 30, and I mean, I don't look like I'm 30.
Right.
And I think that maybe that may have a lot to do with it, because I don't look my age.
Yeah.
So people don't take me seriously, and it stresses me out. So sometimes I do try to compensate for that and get
you ugly it up a bit.
Yeah, right.
You put on pretend glasses.
You sound like my twin.
No,
Kevin's been ugly it up, and he's really good at it.
I do try to, you know, doll it up a little more than I should when I go out. Try to, you know, compensate for it. Say, hey, look at me. I am 30. I'm, you know, a woman.
You should.
Yeah, well, thank you. I do it well. I'm
all right.
So, but it is. It gets hard, but, you know, I feel for it. But, you know, I'm funny, too, and, you know, they say pretty women aren't funny, and I'm pretty hilarious.
You
are
do like you, Monique. I will tell you that. But,
thank you, but I do feel for them, and, you know, I'm definitely not one to pass judgment and stuff. I was raised very well not to do that. So I actually, every time I meet somebody, I can, you know, I look straight through them and always try to see from the inside, and that's how I was raised.
All right, but let me ask you this. Do you ever stop talking?
Do I ever what?
Stop talking.
I'm just saying, that was one sentence.
Everything she said was one sentence. That's
you
all I
said. Shut up, Bean.
Thank you, Monique, for calling. I'm sorry that you're so hot. It must be a terrible
thing. Monique.
Let's try Joey. We already have time for a couple of calls, unfortunately. Joey is on line one. Joey, I want to ask you. I didn't get a chance to ask Monique any questions because she wouldn't shut up. But what about what Samantha Brick is saying in this article about all the tension it causes with women, say, at work? Because of the way she looks, she really doesn't get along with anyone at work because they prejudge her. What about that?
Well, I had a situation where women weren't liking me because I was young and thin, and I don't put myself out there to feel like I'm the most beautiful woman in the world. I feel like I'm average, and I look young for my age.
But you know what? If you work with fours and you're a seven, even you know, I mean, they could look at you like with envy or whatever. That could happen.
Well, I'm a very friendly person, I think. I mean, I talk to all of those women, and I feel like I'm not judging anybody, so why should I be judged?
You get along better with guys than women?
I don't know. I think I have a lot of girlfriends.
Okay.
I'm not one of those girls who looks intimidating.
What about Samantha when she says that with all of her girlfriends getting married, none of them ever even ask her to be in their weddings because they're afraid that she will upstage the bride? What about that?
Yeah, kind of had that one situation with a current girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah, but I felt like she's the girl who had the boob job, and I mean, she looked great, but had this attitude where she was probably going to outstage me, and then I had to ask her to not be in my wedding because things got uncomfortable.
Wait, so you were the catty, bitchy female about somebody else?
I love it.
I feel like she was avoiding me, and then all of a sudden it turned out that she was jealous because I was the one getting married, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, so she was actively trying to upstage you.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is getting uncomfortable.
Bitches be crazy, you guys. My God, Joey, thank you for the call. Can we do Annette? Do we have time to screen in one more? Squeeze in one more? Annette is on line seven. Annette, it sounds like you had a whole world of problems.
Whoa. Turn down your radio, Annette.
Okay. Oh, hi, I'm sorry.
Hi, okay.
Hi.
What's going on? We don't have much time, but it sounds like your beauty has caused great difficulty in your life. How come?
Well, I was telling him that, you know, I had an accident before. Or I didn't have an accident, but I was sitting at a stoplight. I was about to cross the street. The people were about next to me making a right. It was a car full of guys. And they kept inching their way forward to try to get my attention. And then finally they ended up hitting an old lady right in front of them.
Sweet. They ran right into a car in front of them trying to get a look.
Oh,
God. Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
It's actually really uncomfortable. I had a boss hire me. He literally, there was somebody that was working there that knew me, and he literally said, hey, let's call Annette and see if she wants a job here because we need some eye candy around here.
Well,
and
a job, though, doesn't it?
It does, but then in the end, I didn't have a job because he didn't like that I wasn't flirty and that I didn't take to him that the way he thought.
Oh, I got you.
And he ended up, all of a sudden, the schedule came out and I didn't have any days on it.
I got
you. So I had to find a job.
All right. Thank you for the call, Annette. Bina, we have to do one more, and that is Vanessa because she's calling about her sister, Monique, who was the first call we took.
I hate Monique so much.
Monique was the first call we took.
Right.
And she wouldn't stop talking. And this is her sister, Vanessa. Hi.
Hi.
Tell us about Monique.
Well, you're right. She doesn't ever stop talking.
Okay. Hey, good. Check.
And she is a very beautiful girl. However, she definitely, when she goes out, wants to be the center of attention and is like, do you think I'm pretty? Do you think I look good? Oh, my God. That guy's staring at me. Oh, my God. That girl totally, look at her. She's staring at me.
Does she dress down for work? She told us that.
She has to dress down for work. However, However, she makes sure that she always looks her best, no matter what. And when she's going out, I mean, she's dressed to the nines.
I'm down with that.
But basically, do you think she has any right to complain about problems that are as a result of her being too attractive?
I think anybody who complains about being too attractive is just seeking that extra attention of somebody being like, no, you're a beautiful girl.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. My response is always, you should try being ugly.
Because we can tell you, that's no party.
There's a whole lot more problems with that than being hot.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad you called in, Vanessa. But do us a favor and see if you can get your sister to send us some photos, just so we know what we're dealing with here, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:41.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from a podcast listener in New Hampshire. Catching up on the show recently, I was very pleased to hear that you would be having Jennifer Love Hewitt on the program. She is my Hollywood dream girl. I've had her at the top of my personal list of the most beautiful women in the world for several years now. She is sweet, friendly, funny, talented, stunningly beautiful. I was really looking forward to listening to this underappreciated performer on the Kevin and Bean Show, certainly to promote her new show on the Lifetime Network. Then I realized, wait, she's going to be on the Kevin and Bean Show? Abort, abort. Let Lisa do the interview.
What?
Ralph, anybody, please stop you guys. For the love of all things good and holy, do not screw this interview up.
We can handle an interview with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Maybe she's worried about being creepy.
How dare you? Jennifer Love Hewitt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about your vagina.
No, that's exactly what he's saying,
okay,
Kevin.
Good
that's
morning.
Not. First of all, I can't believe as long as we've been doing this show, I don't think we've ever talked to you before, and that should be criminal.
I know. Right? I feel like I have, though. Have I not ever talked to you guys before?
I don't think so.
Not enough.
I think it's been one way love for a lot of years, is what I think. But we're glad to have you today.
I'm glad to be here.
The first thing we want to talk about is we put up a post at krock.com this morning of the ad for The Client List, your new Lifetime show that debuts this Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Now, it's a very popular ad. Of course, it's on billboards all over town. Everybody has seen it by now. You are looking very beautiful, very seductive in your black outfit there with the boobs akimbo.
Thank you.
There's another version of the ad that's appearing in some magazines like Entertainment Weekly, where it looks like they've photoshopped your boobs practically out of the photo. They've like reduced you by like two cup sizes. What's that about?
I have no idea. I just heard about this yesterday, and somebody sent me a copy of the photograph, and I was like, what happened?
Somebody should be in prison.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but apparently somebody wanted me to have a boob reduction. I don't know what's going on.
That's crazy that Entertainment Weekly would take something. I mean, your show is rather sexual.
Yes.
Explain your show to people who haven't heard about it, and then we'll try and figure out why they wouldn't want any cleavage showing.
Okay, so I play a single Texas mom who's raising two kids, has a foreclosing house, lots of bills to pay, has just been left by her husband, and has to figure out a way to support her family. So she gets a job at a massage spa place giving happy ending massages.
Yes.
That sounds illegal.
So that's... Yeah. Well, but it's lucrative. But that's the show. So the picture is pretty sexual, and
right.
the way you described it in the interview, it sounds like you're pretty much going to be in lingerie every week.
I am,
which is good.
Yes.
So why would Entertainment Weekly take your boobs away?
I'm not sure.
They should be sued.
I don't know what happened, but the thing that's even crazier is that usually when they, you know, do that stuff or whatever, I mean, I had to see the photographs before they went out anywhere.
Right.
And I was never sent a new version of it saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Really?
But whatever. I mean, at least they still ran the ad and they've been, you know, very kind to us and stuff like that. So I appreciate them still running the ad, but I'm not quite sure why the smaller boob thing. I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing I can think is that there are people out there who are offended by sexuality and would write a complaint letter or cancel the subscription or something like that because they don't think it's appropriate for a general interest family magazine. That's the only thing I can think of, which I say
I can think of also.
But wait a minute. But you're not showing your boobs. It's just cleavage.
Well, yeah, I don't know. And I guess I would understand it if like they had been enhanced to like sell the show or something.
Right.
Right.
But
right.
That's just me. Like nothing was messed with or, you know what I mean? So that part of it, understand. But like I said, the magazine's been great to us and very supportive of the show and whatever, and I would never want to offend people. So if that's what they had to do in order to, you know, make it right for people, then it's totally cool with me. But I did kind of find it funny.
That's what you say. I'm starting a lawsuit.
You're saying prison is what you're saying, Kevin. Jennifer Love Hewitt is on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the show again that premieres this Sunday night at 10 on the Lifetime channel. Now, I got to be honest, you know, being a dude, I don't watch a lot of Lifetime, but this one sounds like the show I might tune in for. Is it fairly restrictive over there in terms of what you can show and do and talk about in language, or is it kind of like the brave new world of basic cable where you get away with more than I expect?
You can definitely get away with more than you'd expect, and Lifetime is wanting to make a change in their network as well and be as unapologetic and provocative as the show, you know, can be with still holding on to its integrity and everything. I think people will be surprised in some ways how far we push it and how much we're able to get away with, and then in other ways I feel like we will sort of get people to a point where they might feel uncomfortable and then kind of cut out of it, and they will feel, you know, relieved by that in some way. So it's definitely racy, though.
This is this is the sexiest role you've ever had, right?
For sure.
Go ahead, B.
I was gonna ask, because I know you had success with the movie. You did it as a movie first. It was a big, big hit. And you're the one who said, hey, there's more stories to be told, or let's make this a series. So did you talk to women who work in this industry? Because I would imagine you see everything going through the doors of a place like that.
Yeah, I chose not to. I didn't really want to know that much about it.
Can you imagine you stumble into one of those massage places? And Jennifer Love Hewitt is there, and she's just checking things out, and you go, I'd like her, please.
I know. Well, first of all, I couldn't figure out how to get myself into one of those places where I wouldn't also end up in trouble or get them in trouble. So I sort of just am you know, it's acting, and I'm just sort of...
You're waiting.
All right, let me ask you one more question, and I can see that we have far too many questions for this brief time that we have, so we're going to have to invite you to come back, and please,
I'd
you know, if
that.
if you ever could come in, we'd love to spend some time with you in the studio so we
that
could ask
great.
All these questions.
I'd love that, sure.
But let me ask you one more question. Is the massage industry, is this the type of thing that everybody kind of knows what's going on in some of the places? There are far more reputable places than there are places that actually do offer the happy endings, but right. Do the police just look the other way on something like that in most cases because they go, whatever, consenting adults, nobody's getting hurt, none of my business.
You know, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not quite sure how it all works or how it breaks down. I mean, I think there's like certain hours that you can do those things and certain hours that you can't. But I will say this, is the one thing that I have learned sort of off camera is that you would be surprised how many of these things that there are. And you would be surprised like in the neighborhoods and at which places they offer these things. It's kind of crazy.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Now,
when
we first brought you on and I asked about your vagina, the reason I did that was because of the vajazzling that you talk about. Do you regret bringing that up ever?
Sometimes. Yes.
You can read more about that and see pictures in a great interview with Jennifer Love Hewitt in the current issue of Maxim magazine. That's the April issue. And, of course, the show airs this Sunday night at 10 on Lifetime. We really are going to reach out to your people and try to get you in so we can spend a little more time with you. But thank you for finally coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
I would love that. And thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bye now.
Our old friend Jason Biggs is here. He'll be joining us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about American Reunion. Say hi to Biggsy. How's he doing, Ralph?
I did. I'm doing... I was telling Jason, I don't think I've seen him since he was washing my car dressed as an Eagles cheerleader. I think it was the last time we actually...
paying off a bet. Hung out together.
And now he comes in, and I believe the Giants are the Super Bowl champions.
I don't think... look, you want to live in the past? I don't think so. I don't think it's important who won
last year.
If
your team is the Super Bowl champ, you do.
I don't think they consider you win. You're not always automatically just the champ.
You are until the next time somebody wins it.
No.
Ralph, come on. Don't be that way.
I don't even know who won. I don't even remember.
Giants.
San Francisco?
Jason Biggs will be in here, and we're also going to talk to his movie wife, Allison Hannigan, next hour as well, all about American Reunion.
Why is she coming in?
That's instead of him.
Yes.
Isn't she like 11 months pregnant right now or something?
That is hardly my concern.
Well, I'm just saying it may be difficult for her to get up and around.
Hey, King of Mexico, why do we not have her? Why do we have Jason?
She's carrying a baby.
Okay.
So? There better be more than one as long as she's been pregnant.
All right.
I've got a baby, too. I still show up to work. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good point.
Jeez, if you're a parent, all of a sudden everything's got to stop.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Biggs has children all over America. He doesn't even know the names of them.
He does.
Yeah. Left his seed all over this great nation.
Hundreds
of kids. Ah, this is sad news. Our little Amanda Bynes, she's grown up right in front of our eyes. Now she's inside the big house.
Really?
The Gray Bar Hotel.
What
the
happened?
Hooskow. Popped in West Hollywood early this morning for DUI. Oh, Amanda.
She just turned 21
oh, Amanda.
Yesterday or the
she's,
day before?
She's 26, so she turned 21 okay. 5 years ago.
I was thinking someone else.
Busted at 3 a.m. She's still behind bars, according to sources.
Her bail.
Her bail's been set at $5,000.
Is that a good drop or should I erase it?
Jail.
I like it.
All right.
Trust me, it's going to be the intro to some reality show on True TV. They're going to buy that and use it.
That's true. Yeah.
What was her show?
Her show was the Amanda Bynes show. I think she started off on You Can't Do That on Television. No, what was one of those Nickelodeon shows?
I remember her from like What a Girl Wants, and all she had that? Some other movies that were pretty well, but yeah. I didn't remember what her big TV show was.
She had a bunch of movies, too. She was in Agent Cody Banks, I think, wasn't she, with
Email Ralph at KROQ.com.
I don't really care that much. She's adorable. She's charming. She had she had a show with Jenny Garth where they played sisters. I remember it was fairly but now she's in jail. Yeah. So I feel bad. She's adorable. She's too cute for jail, that's for sure. Bad things can happen when you're attractive in jail.
You don't have to tell me. Kevin knows what that means.
You went through all the worst of it. Our porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West an item? Well, it sure is appearing that way. Yesterday we talked about Theraflu, KW's new single, where he talked about falling in love with her while she was still hooked up with her future ex-husband. Now they've been seen coming out of a restaurant together on a date. So apparently they are young and in love.
Sounds opportunistic of both of them.
Have you seen the photo?
No.
Online there's a photo, supposedly from Kanye West. It's a sex picture of him taking a picture of himself and his date in the mirror. She is in the position that a Great Dane would be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's behind her.
Right.
And you can't really see faces, but if you look at the body of that of the person in that photo, you would say, I think I know who that is.
Is that right? So
this is all alleged, but...
That's the kind of stuff we need to
Here's
tweeted.
A photo. I think we just found it right here. That's the photo right there. What's the blurring? What's what with the blurring? What is this? Showtime? Come on. Find me a hardcore picture, for God's sakes, Mugs. So looks like they're in love. They're crazy and in love.
I like they're in that position, and he's stopping to turn to take a photo.
Well, that just tells you everything you need to know about that person, doesn't it?
I just love that.
And he's, like, center in the frame, too, by the way. He's like, it's all about
of
him.
Of course. So this is going to be the Ray J tape all over again.
That's the most damning evidence that it's actually Kanye West, is the photo is pretty much just Kanye. He's taking time from sex with a hot chick to take a photo of himself naked in the mirror. That's how you know it's Kanye.
Has Kim Kardashian ever had sex with a white dude?
Don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. She has a preference. She has a type.
She does. Has a type.
That's for sure. Tonight, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show up at the John Lovitz Theater up on City Walk. We'd love to have you come out and join us. It's 10 o'clock this evening up at City Walk. You can go to thelovitz.com if you want, or babylonkev.com or babylonralph.com to get your tickets and details. But we'd love to have you up there. And Biggs and I were just talking about Smith because, you know, they work together in Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
All right.
And I think we should put him in the next movie with Kevin Smith. You know, Kevin's only got one left. That's what he says. So he wants to work with everybody he's ever worked with. So there's going to be a lot of people in this movie. Be a cast of thousands.
For no reason.
Just walking past the camera, though. Nobody's going to have any lines. I know I didn't in the last one. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams, 75 years old today. Paul Rudd turns 43. Jason Hervey from The Wonder Years. He was the obnoxious brother. Remember him? 40 years old. Zach Braff from Scrubs turns 37. Brett Harrison from Reaper and Grounded for Life. And now breaking in on Fox, he is 30 years old. Deora Baird. From the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning, and other feature films. 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I thought you said over your dead body, would Jason Biggs be allowed in this building again, Ralph? What's going on? How did he slip through security?
Well, I thought I said the Giants will have to win the Super Bowl before I let him back in this building. Oh, little did I know.
They'd win it twice.
Since I saw Jason, they have won it twice.
Oh, Ralph.
But the Eagles have won it
Oh, wait, hold on. Do you have enough fingers? Do you have enough fingers?
They've never won a Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. But at least they have a nice new fancy field for all those victories that they've accumulated.
Victories being the key word.
Look at that. Yeah. Hey, recap the bet that happened between you two just quickly.
Years ago, I don't know what Jason was in promoting at the time. Was it
something we didn't see?
Yeah, either something you didn't see or an American Pie movie.
No, I did see it. What was the one where you worked at the dogs with the animal?
Eight Below.
That was it. Yeah, I think it may have been it. And so he's a diehard New York Giants fan. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and it's a legendary rivalry in the NFC East. So we made a little wager: whatever team had the better record that season, the other guy would wash the other guy's car in a dressed up as a cheerleader from that team.
Right.
And that particular season, the Eagles did a little bit better than the Giants.
They fared better than the G-men.
And I got to tell you, we were a little surprised that you paid up.
That you showed up, dressed up, and did it.
Are you kidding? Well, first of all, I'm a publicity whore, so of course any opportunity to to get involved. But
sure.
Listen, I'm a man of my word.
You are,
and listen, it's Ralph and I will I'll be back. It's the first of many wagers, I'm sure.
I'm saying
Plus,
if you want to bet on something this coming season,
let's do it. Biggs either.
Let's do it. I feel great about the G-men coming into 2012.
You
2013.
Do.
You
don't, not I afraid do. Of that Super Bowl hangover at all? Huh?
I'm not at all. We made the playoffs the year after.
Did you see the pictures of fat Eli Manning that they were running in the magazines?
Oh, on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, not very fat.
No, but he does look like an accountant.
But that was the headline.
Well, the thing about
Eli Manning.
My favorite thing about Eli Manning is in his uniform everything seems like a little too big. Like, he seems like a kid that's dressed up as Eli Manning for Halloween,
right? Yes,
you know, like
the giant helmet,
the shoulder pads that go on forever, and he just looks like an eight-year-old.
We make fun of him because he does seem like he's short bus.
Yeah,
he breathes a little short bus.
Yeah. Little special needs there, Eli.
Yeah, totally.
Jason, did you go to the game? Were you in Indianapolis when they went?
I went to the championship game in the NFC Championship in San Francisco, which was awesome. I took my old man. We went out, had a blast. And that game was incredible, by the way.
Incredible game.
But I had never been to Candlestick Park, which was cool. And then, but I couldn't go to the Super Bowl. I had publicity stuff to do. I couldn't go. But
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, very excited.
And you guys will have to put your heads together and come up with a good wager then for this season if you're serious
I'm
about
feeling
doing
good
it,
about this season.
Is that right? So that's perfect grounds for a bet. So the question is, what are the what's the wager, you know?
Yeah, we got to think of something.
That's what you got to
think about
it
in between the breaks. Maybe we'll come up with something.
Is your wife hot?
Yes.
Actually, she is. Yeah.
She is, Jason.
All right. My wife's hot. I'm just wondering.
Your wife's way hot.
That's
a fair
enough
idea.
All right.
Little swapsies.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that and not talk to them about it. That'll go over well at home, I think.
My wife doesn't care. Screw it.
Honey, here's Jason.
What? Wasn't it, in fact, your wife who got you the hooker in Vegas?
Oh,
wasn't that
boy.
What happened? If I remember that story correctly.
Yeah, you're psyched on this wager, aren't you?
She's a good time, apparently.
Yeah, she's good fun, man.
I read that article. It was a great story about how she tried to acquire a hooker for you in Vegas.
That's right. Yeah, comedy of errors. She's going to make a great first wife, guys. I really am. So far, she's doing all the right things.
That's great.
Doing all the right things.
You need a good starter wife.
Jason
Biggs
is here. American Reunion is the movie. It's been impossible to avoid. And, man, are people excited about the whole gang getting back together again. Now, I guess I didn't realize until Ralph brought it up the other day that there have been lots of movies in between that we kind of didn't know about that were on the down low. But this is a real deal.
There's
right?
like 74 sequels that went straight to DVD.
That's a slight exaggeration. There were 56.
But you were in Pie. You were in Pie 2. You were in Wedding, and then you checked out and said no more, right?
Yeah. Well, the studio decided that they would make these straight to DVD films, which, from a business standpoint, turns out was good. I guess those things cost 8 cents to make, and
seven goes to Eugene Levy,
and seven went to Eugene. Seven went to Eugene. Yeah. Eugene has the best line about doing those movies. He's like, it would have been irresponsible of me to not do those movies. As the head of my family, it would have been incredibly irresponsible.
None of the rest of you felt that way.
Well, I don't have a family yet, and I'm not responsible yet. So.
Right.
So they made these movies, and I haven't seen them. I've heard enough about them, though. But, listen, they are what they are, and if anything, they gave some fans out there, the younger kids, a new American Pie movie, you know, every couple of years or however, whenever they were churning them out. And
kept the franchise alive.
Yeah, kept some, gave it some breath. And now some of those kids, this will be their first movie, American Pie movie, they get to see in the theaters.
Now, let me ask you this, because it seems a little bit scary. And my reaction when I first heard American Reunion is, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with the franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is
yeah.
Because a lot of times it just seems to fall apart.
Oh, 1,000%.
It's just a shadow of the first couple of movies.
Cash grab.
But everything I'm hearing about this movie is the opposite of that.
Yeah. To be clear, it is a cash grab.
Okay.
okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, there's cash involved.
Right.
No, it is. I say this, obviously, I have a slightly biased opinion, but I can be pretty objective when I say it's the best one since the first one. These guys, John and Hayden, the writer-directors from the Harold and Kumar franchise, they are big fans of this of the franchise. And they came in and they were like, we want to take this back to the first movie. That tone, the energy, structurally, it's the same. They brought all the characters back. Everybody's
people,
back.
Right.
And, you know, it really, I mean, that's the concern about, you know, tarnishing the franchise. That for us as a cast and a group of filmmakers, that was happening after the first movie. We're
right.
Like, we shouldn't come, but should we do another one?
Mm. If you're lucky enough to score once big, you don't want to test fate.
Yeah,
right?
No, exactly. And I really think this takes it back to the energy of the first movie. Yeah.
But from the trailer, you can tell that it has the same spirit and sort of comic possibility that the first one had.
Yeah.
Just by those little clips. I'm so excited about this film.
Thanks, really, man.
But you guys are all grown up now, so you're not the sex-crazed losers that some of you were in the first movie. What's the struggle for the characters this time around?
Sex-crazed.
Older sex-crazed losers.
Well, yeah, especially for my character, Jim, it turns out that sex is still a it's still a thing.
Still a motivating factor.
Yeah, the update here, is that he, you know, now he, well, he's married. We know he's married.
Right.
But now he has a kid. And they're newly parents and they're trying to navigate that sort of, you know, they're trying to figure out how to still be husband and wife and sex and everything and be parents. And
what I've learned? Parents wins.
And it should. And Jim,
you do have sort of more alone time sexually than you do as when you're just a couple when there's a kid around.
Right. You got to work at it a little bit harder, I think. And that's the thing that Jim and Michelle don't realize at first. And so, consequently, Jim is sexually frustrated. When Jim is sexually frustrated, which, by the way, that's what he was in the first movie.
Right.
It's just in the first movie he needed to lose his virginity. He couldn't get any because he didn't have anyone. Now he can't get any because he has someone and has someone else.
On that topic, Ralph said he paid you a tremendous compliment on the show earlier this week when he was talking about the famous nude scene that you do in American Reunion.
Oh.
Ralph, what were you saying?
I don't remember. What did I say?
There's no way you would ever want to be naked. Yeah.
Right. I was reading the story about your scene, and I said it takes a certain kind of actor, it takes a certain bravery as an actor to be able to do that that I do not possess, that I would never be able to do it in a million years. It takes a certain lack of vanity and ability to go for the joke and just commit completely and just be able to bury yourself literally in front of all those people and just do that.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
There's only a few guys who really could do it, I think. Like Will Ferrell always seems to be very comfortable with how he looks.
Yep.
And it's to your credit that you're willing to go for the joke and make that happen.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I also have the luxury, too, with this character and these American Pie movies of seeing what has worked and knowing what the audience expects from the character.
Right.
We know that Jim needs to get into these situations. We know that we need to push the boundaries. So
do you go over to the director and go, hey, how about some CGI help with this?
Hannigan likes to joke that it was a magnified pot lid that I had over my and that's why she's a bitch.
It's funny you should say that because we're going to have her on the phone.
I know, I need to have it out with her. It's the only part of American Reunion that was shot in 3D.
One more question before we break, and then we are going to come back with your movie wife, Allison Hannigan. And that is sometimes actors just say, screw it, I'm just going to walk around naked on the set, whatever. And then some go to great lengths to cover up so that they're actually not technically nude. Which way did you go?
The former. I have no problem with it all hanging out. I I liked doing this one thing where when the actors were, you know, if I was working a day and one of the other actors was not working, I would take my balls out and put them on their their chairs where it says their name, their mm-hmm. director's chair. I would do that. I especially like doing that for Eddie because he just seemed to deserve it more than anyone else.
Would you take pictures then, post it in their dressing room?
We would take pictures and then I'd send it to. I actually did that. My neighbor Sean White, the snowboarder, and he always screws with me and Jenny at our house because we're literally right there. And he like cut down a tree in his yard and threw it into my pool.
Sweet.
Threw it into my pool, which was fine because then he was out of town, I think, like at the X Games or winning gold medal somewhere or something. And so his housekeeper was, and I was like, I need to go into Sean's house. And she's like, okay. And I was like, don't worry about it. And I go into his house and I bring my wife and I whip my balls out and put them on his pillow. And then we take a picture. And then he comes home like that night, you know, goes to sleep, wakes up the next day. And I see him. I'm like, hey, buddy, must have been nice sleeping in your own bed again. He's like, oh, you have no idea. And then I texted him the picture.
That's awesome. You sure you want to make a bet with this man, Ralph?
I don't know anymore. I'm afraid of where his sack may show up in my life.
All right. Jason Biggs is here. We could not be more excited about the American Reunion movie. It opens everywhere today. When we come back, we're going to get Allison on the phone, too, and I want to find out, are you guys really going to have it out, or do we have an issue here? Is there a problem?
Game on.
Game on.
Game on. That'll happen next here on the Kevin DeBee. Jason Biggs in studio with us right now. The movie is called American Reunion. We're going to talk to his movie wife, Allison Hannigan, in a second. Hey, true or false, you really did get attacked by a monkey?
True.
Really?
I mean, listen, attack is a strong word.
You still have a face. Yeah. So it couldn't have been that bad.
Yeah, my face is still here. We were in Gibraltar, and... the Rock of Gibraltar fame.
Yeah.
And
that one.
All that Gibraltar.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's just to be clear.
Right.
And they have these monkeys that the island is famous for.
Are they smallish?
They're smallish, okay. Their species name is called Barbary apes. So it sounds really...
Wow.
And you get off, you take this tram up, and you get off, and there's signs everywhere with, like, pictures of the... And, like, their mouths are open with, like, sharp razor-like teeth, like, coming out. It's like
saying what?
Saying, like, don't touch them. Feed
Watch
them.
Out. Okay.
Just, we like, warning. Like, they're monk wild animals still.
But best movie.
And listen, as far as handies go, they give a good one.
Yeah, that's good to know.
They give a good one. Yeah. So it was pretty wild. So yeah, my wife, of course, wanting to, you know, get them to come near us, started like, she's like, do you have any food or chips in your bag? I'm like, no, in fact, that's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to do, sweetheart. And she's like, I know. And,
but she still wanted
it. Yeah, exactly. And she's like, well, how else will we get them near us? And so, she had a tampon in her bag. And so she was like, if I wrinkle this up, you know, keep it hidden in my bag, maybe they'll think it's a bag of chips or something. And they'll come running. Well, it worked.
Came running.
She was rustling the wrapper
running, and then they jump on me. Literally one, I'm just standing there. One jumped out. Just like all of a sudden, I felt like 30 pound weight on my back. And I'm like, oh, my God. But this the best was the one monkey, Barbary ape, actually jumped on her purse, pulled the tampon out of her hand and her bag, started running away with it, put it in its mouth. We got all these great photos of it. It was fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. Who invites a monkey to jump on them? Most people don't want
he
that.
He didn't invite it. His wife.
My wife did, though.
My crazy wife invited this monkey to play. And listen, I got a good hand job out of the deal.
Oh,
so
would you please with that? We can't really say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Speaking of crazy wives.
Wouldn't it be funny if the monkey, though, was on its period and needed the tampon?
That would be very
funny.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That would have been a spectacular ending. Yes. Speaking of crazy wives, how about your movie wife joining us here on the Kevin DeBee Show right now? She is Michelle in the movie American Reunion, opening everywhere today, but we know her and love her as the beautiful Allison Hannigan. Hi, Allison.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Allison.
How are you?
Oh, I missed you, Kevin and Bean.
We miss you, too.
And, oh, yeah, you, Jason.
Hey.
Hi, Jace.
Hi, babe.
You don't miss us enough to come here and spend time with us.
Well, I'm walking the streets of New York City.
Oh, you're in New York. Oh, that's why you're not here. Oh.
Yeah.
We thought you were just big and pregnant and didn't want to be here.
Well, that, too. But, I would have if I were at home.
How pregnant are you right now, Allison?
I'm
12 months pregnant.
12 months is a lot.
Wow. 12 months. I'm going to have a baby elephant.
Okay. I don't think that math is right. I don't think that math is right. I'm not a mom or dad or anything, but
12 months seems wrong to you?
What do I know?
I don't know. I've got the belly to prove it. Well, no, I still have a couple months to go, which is surprising to me because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a watermelon.
Yeah.
Have you seen pictures of Allison from the premiere?
I have not. She looks amazing.
Allison at the red carpet of American Reunion looks unbelievable.
For a fat chick, you mean?
Yeah, oh. I mean for a fat. Yeah. No. There's a huge asterisk next to that comment, obviously. But no.
I just like being able to have pizza before a red carpet. That was really fun. Yeah.
Now you have a little one already at home. Your daughter can't be that old, right?
She just turned 3.
And what's she think about all this?
She's very excited. She rubs my tummy and talks to the baby and, you know, buys teddy bears. I mean, I buy
she,
it.
She has money.
She has money, yeah.
You put her to work already?
She takes the car. Well, she goes to the mall.
What
she
gets... sweatshop does she work at, Allison?
She makes iPods.
Yes, exactly.
Imagine how old those kids are going to have to be before they can see one frame of American Reunion based on the clips that I've seen.
Oh, my gosh. 80.
80. Eight and 80. That's the difference between you two.
That's why we're all going to worry when Jason has children.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm already, because I was thinking about this, like, what if, okay, if I have a daughter, right, I'd be psyched, okay?
Right.
Well, you know, nowadays, too, so much, like, I could picture her at 11 years old, 12, you know, coming home from school and being like, Dad, my friend Jessica said she saw your penis on TV last night.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And I'll be like, is your friend Jessica hot?
Oh, stop it. You wouldn't say that.
Sorry. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
No, but you would try to ascertain it without saying it.
Yeah, I would look at her little yearbook or whatever.
You know what? As long as she says she saw it on TV and not in the bathroom, that's fine.
This is a good point, Al.
Instead of by the trash cans outside in the driveway.
Somehow I picture Jason walking around naked all the time, though.
Yeah.
Don't you? All the time at home. Just
and driving a van with no windows.
Well, he's putting his sack on everybody's director's chair. Who knows what he's doing there, you know.
Al, for the record, I never did that to your chair.
It's sack terrorism. That's what's going on.
Before
we go, I have to ask. Now, you guys have known each other a long time. You've kind of grown up together in this business. I mean, in terms of...
Yeah, and it feels even longer.
What's it like to play movie husband and wife? Is it at all weird to do some of the things you have to do in the movie because you are actual friends out of school?
No, I feel like, I mean, Jason's such a wonderful acting partner, and it really is just like playing a fantastic game of tennis where you can just hit the ball back and forth, and you have such trust, and it's a pleasure.
Oh,
wow.
I agree.
But don't tell him that.
Jason, why are you putting your finger in your mouth like you're throwing up? Why are you doing that?
Al, I'm not doing that. I am putting a fake gun to my temple. But no. Al, that's so sweet, and I could not agree more. We get along so well. We have like a shorthand with each other. And
absolutely.
It's just so much fun. And
this cast from the beginning seems like it's just tailor-made to work together.
We really gel in a great way.
It's probably
easier
because you have some history than if you had to play a scene with some stranger you're playing a husband and wife.
No, totally. And, you know, Al, I mean...
Is it awkward that it is your actual baby and she's carrying
you're comfortable with someone when the first day of work, for me, was telling Jason how to adjust his penis.
Yeah.
It's got to go a little more to the right.
Yeah. Okay. That was her first day of filming.
That's not your good side.
That was her first day of filming was the penis scene.
Oh, my God.
She walks in, and she literally was like, even because I couldn't, I didn't have the right angle.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and she's like, Jason, you really should, you know, try 2 o'clock. Try 1:30. And I'm like, 1:30? I don't have a minute hand, too.
All right, last question, and I don't know that I've ever seen this addressed or written anywhere, but has there ever been a cast hookup in all the years you guys have been doing the
You know
movies?
What? You know, there's not. There might.
Do you want to tell them about you and Eddie?
Oh, well, yeah.
A little bit.
Eddie and I have a friendship that, you know,
goes beyond
yeah. the normal boundaries.
It transcends decorum.
It transcends normalcy.
Not everybody understands your love.
Yeah, not everybody understands.
Look, you were young. We all experiment.
Yeah, and even now when I'm not young, it's
right.
I still feel like it's a lifelong experiment, Ralph. We haven't gotten the results we've been looking for, really. So we've been
staying in the lab late
hours. I'm still wearing my lab coat and. It's had to been run through the wash a couple of times, but
sure.
No hookups, right?
I don't think so. I mean, not that I know of.
No, it's really bizarre, actually.
That
there
is.
Have been
that
no
is bizarre.
Sean and Eugene is what I hear.
Sean and Eugene.
That's
a little May December romance on the set of American Reunion.
How about Stifler and Stifler's mom? That would be creepy, right?
Actually, I got a better one for you. This is true. Al, you know this, right? So Eddie Finch, after the first American Pie, he's 18, 17, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
His first place he lived in Los Angeles, where he moved from New York, was a house, a big house in Hancock Park that Jennifer Coolidge lived in and was renting rooms out of. Oh. Like, was renting out rooms. She was like the landlord. So Eddie Finch went and lived with Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
What?
Right after the first movie. They lived together in the thing. Never never hooked up.
As
far as we know. But how brilliant is that?
That's wow. so cool. That just seems like it should have been a reality show.
No
totally. Did you not know that, Al?
No.
Yeah, trippy, right?
That's cool.
Allison, tell that story, but add to it every time.
Well, I can't believe I have to say this and be the bad man, but we are desperately out of time. I know. This is so fun. I know. Allison, we love you so much. We miss you so much. We're so excited about American Reunion. It does look hilarious, and we cannot urge K-Rock listeners enough to go out and see it at least once this weekend. And please keep in touch. Good luck with the new one, okay?
And even if you don't go see it, at least buy the ticket.
Buy a ticket. Yeah.
Buy a ticket. Go see something else. They don't care.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Best of luck, Allison. Thank you.
Bye, Al. See
you
soon.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Bye.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Jason, can you hang out? Or
yeah, I'm chilling.
You want to do the show biz with Ralph?
Yeah, let's do it. You're right. I'm here, man. I ain't got...
We do enjoy the crack.
Hey, Ralph Garman's here with the Showbiz Beat with Jason Biggs from American Reunion. By the way, Ralph, you should put Biggsy in the rotation for the Hollywood Babylon. He'd be fantastic.
He would be a great host.
Put me in the rotation.
That's the show I do with Kevin Smith up at Universal. He's so busy all the time. He's off selling his book or whatever he needs to do, so he'll leave me high and dry occasionally.
I'm in.
I have to have guest hosts come by and sit in, and we talk about showbiz news, and we make fun of people and stuff. And we had Patton Oswalt the week before.
Can I ask a question?
Shoot.
Rotation?
He's very busy. Jason is very busy.
Are you okay with that?
I'm lazy.
Looking back on it.
Okay, you know what?
Jason did say rotation.
Did you do the drop?
No, we didn't drop on rotation, although we should have.
Oh, sure. You did on HJ, but you can't on rotation.
I wanted people to hear it.
That was Howard Jones, by the way, we were talking about for the HJ. One of Jason's favorite musical artists.
For this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, one more look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I do want to mention tonight, up at City Walk, me and Kevin Smith will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. Come on out. We've been having a lot of fun up there talking about showbiz news. And we'll be talking about the fact that I got Adam West, his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, yesterday. We'll be
pretty
talking
sweet.
About that, yeah. I don't know if you were a big Batman fan growing
yeah,
up,
dude.
But I was a huge Batman fan. I found out that he didn't have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Is that true?
So for years, I've been trying to get him one, and yesterday was the actual ceremony. I was down there. Adam asked me to speak, and Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, who also gave Adam a big break, making him the mayor of Quahog on that show. He was there, and he spoke, and Adam had some nice things to say about this show and this station and, well, me.
And
I owe a special thanks to K-Rock Radio. Yes. To Kevin and Bean and Ralph Garman here, who spoke a moment ago. Ralph, you are a fine actor. You're a
Easy.
Noted collector.
Yes.
You're a radio personality.
I am,
you're
sort
all
of.
That stuff.
Yeah.
But most of all, you're a good friend.
No.
Batman! It's always a pleasure to see
Batman
you.
Batman is
Thanks
my friend.
For being here.
Batman is my friend.
Batman That's is crazy. Your friend, Ralph.
Batman is my friend.
Yes, he is.
Who has two thumbs and is Batman's friend? This guy.
This guy.
It would be like if our friend Kevin grew up and got to know Osama bin Laden. I mean, that
right.
level of devotion it's, and
what?
Love
that kind of
and
fandom
adoration.
And love.
Yeah, and then you get to actually know the dude.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, you know your old radio name was Al-Qaeda. Remember you used to work in?
That's true. Yeah.
Love Osama.
They call me Al.
Matt Lauer, he's doing all right for himself. He likes nice things too, apparently, Jason. He just got a new contract with NBC as host of the Today Show.
just signed a new deal.
How much are they paying him?
That's a two-hour a morning deal, right? 2 hours
seven
only.
To nine.
Seven to nine. And then they repeat it, right?
I don't know.
No, it's 7 to 9. But then there's local stuff before, and then the Kathy and Hoda is after. But it's his stuff, I think, is just
so
7 hours.
All right. Well, his old deal, he was only making $17 million a year to do that show.
Chump change.
And that was not acceptable, as you can imagine. Jeez. So they renegotiated, and he finally got a reasonable salary for what he does.
Well, he's
got
to eat.
Yes. He's making $30 million a year to host the Today Show.
Wow. Man.
How many American Pie movies is that, Jason?
God, I need to do all the direct-to-DVDs and merch. I don't even know how many I need to do.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
It's nutty money. Dick Wolf, producer of Law & Order, and Mark Burnett, reality show producer, have announced a new reality show. Maybe you could be on this, Jason.
I'm in.
It's celebrities competing against each other as they take on the same training that the U.S. Special Forces has to go through.
Oh, dude, look at me. Look at me.
You've got the physique for it, absolutely.
This athletic build?
It would be too easy.
Yeah, it actually would be too easy.
It'd be boring for you.
I've won already.
It's called Stars Earn Stripes. They got to work on that title.
Yeah, that's
right?
Not a good title.
Yeah. And NBC will be the network that will show this. The celebrities will have a drill sergeant assigned to them and get them ready for their grueling challenges each week. No word on a host yet for the show. It is NBC. Maybe Matt Lauer could throw him a bone and do a little extra work for the $30 million a year he's pulling down over there.
So somebody's going to be yelling at Fabio, "You are a maggot!" That kind of stuff? Is that what's going to happen?
I hope so. I'd like to yell at Fabio and tell him he's a maggot if I had the opportunity. And Kim Kardashian apparently is moving on from her ex-husband, Chris Humphries.
Who is?
Oh, sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian moving on from her ex-husband, Chris Humphries, with Kanye West.
Mm.
Yesterday, we played a little of Kanye's new single, Theraflu, where he talks about falling in love with Kim Kardashian. And now they've been seen out and about in New York City, dating.
Kim's got a type, huh?
She does like a certain kind of gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They went to see The Hunger Games together this week. That's how you know they're in love.
Yeah.
You go to see a movie about kids murdering kids, you know. You know that's romance. That is true love right there.
You can seal the deal with that movie.
Women love that. Yes. Once those kids start killing each other, they can't keep
their
hands
off. They
just
turn to you. They're like, do
panties
me.
Panties come right off.
That's right.
Have you seen that, Jason? That's a good movie.
No, I haven't seen
it
yet.
It's a good movie. I wouldn't see it this weekend.
Not this weekend.
No, not this weekend.
I'll go see it, when American Reunion is out of the theater.
This weekend is all American Reunion.
All the time.
You've already seen Hunger Games. Everyone's seen Hunger Games. Move on.
We believe that all celebrities know all celebrities. Have you crossed paths with any of our Kardashians in the party circuit that you run in, Jason?
The crazy party circuit? I have not. No Kardashians.
Biggs doesn't strike me as hanging out in the same place as the Kardashians.
Which is to say locker rooms of
NBA teams.
Of NBA teams.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
NFL.
Today's celebrity birthday is Billy Dee Williams. Well, I also think banged Kim Kardashian, if I'm not mistaken. He is 75 years old today. Paul Rudd. That's a funny dude.
Yeah, he is funny.
43 years old. Zach Braff from Scrubs turns 37. Brett Harrison from Reaper. And now you can see him on Fox on Breaking In, that show with Christian Slater. I think it's still a show. I'm not sure. I haven't caught up with Breaking In.
I think you're right.
I think they just added, who's the Will and Grace chick? Megan
Mullally.
Oh,
she's
kind of
since the beginning.
Right,
has been added
right.
to the cast.
Dave says still on.
Yeah. She is 30 years old. He is, rather, 30 years old today. She's much older than 30. And Diora Baird, one of our favorite actresses around here. I'm not sure.
I know Diora.
Do you know Diora Baird?
Yeah, happy birthday, Diora.
She's very attractive.
she's not unattractive. Yeah.
Thank you for the confirmation.
I like her boobies.
Yeah, it's boobies. She's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
American Reunion. Awesome. Go see it this weekend. Or
come back more often.
Or die.
Dude, I'm in.
We always enjoy having
you. I'm in.
You say that.
And you guys need
seriously.
To come up with a bed.
We let him get out of here today.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll think of something, and then we'll
you know, we'll have him back in near football season.
That's a good idea.
Great idea.
Just to talk football.
I would love it.
No other reason just to come in.
Great.
American Reunion.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jason. We'll see you tomorrow at April Fool's.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That show sucks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you like to prolong the party around here?
Roll another one.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the other one.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
This one seems to be about to quit.
My
myself, I'm a drummer.
And I need another hit.
I mean, it looks insane. I've been to a lot of high school parties when I was in high school and college. And the worst thing that ever happened at my house was there was a cigarette burn in my mom's couch, and she got mad at me. That was it.
Roll.
Roll.
Roll another one.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
Just like the other one.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
This one seems to be about.
Think that I'm gonna masturbate after this tonight? You're right.
Why not me? This is America.
Just pass it around.
Sorry, can't help you there.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Screw this. The rest of you can stay here like dorks, but I'm going home.
That show sucks.
The madness ends here.
That, my friends, is closure.
Wow. It's nice effort.
You're great.
It's good.
Keep plugging away.
Well, as they used to say at the freshman mixer, when you get a yes, you go home.
Thank you, Maestro. Beautifully done.